Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
It's Wednesday night, and you know what that means. It's the Mark Order Podcast. I'm some jackwagon, and I'm joined by number two and number three, Anthony and Kate, respectively. No?
No, that's Kate's number two, I'm number three.
Oh, I didn't mean like in that order, I'm sorry.
Well, that's what respectively means.
I was saying before the show started, you guys give me way too much credit.
Well, I don't know.
All systems are go. Yeah, we're good.
Right. Matt.
Yes.
How was your stay at the Ringside Collectibles warehouse?
What? It was great. It was awesome.
Yeah, did you get arrested? Did you have to spend the night in jail?
No, I was very respectful. Look, I know people think I'm a maniac. Sometimes I do come across as a maniac, but I was very respectful. I was in somebody's place of business, someone else's home. So I just, you know, kept my hands in my pockets. Can't say that was the only thing I kept in my pockets or my pants. It was very exciting. The warehouse is chock full of action figures and goodness.
Interesting. I mean, that's not what I was going to expect the reaction to be, because last week you weren't here because you were driving there in a fit of rage because you didn't get something delivered you were supposed to. But I'm glad to see that things turned out in your favor.
Well, I'm going to let you know, Anthony, I didn't even listen to last week's show, buddy.
I figured.
I was very, very, very busy. I finally got around to watching Dynamite Monday. So, I mean, it's useless to watch something 5 days after it aired when you know everything that happened, but I was still like, fuck it, I've got to watch Dynamite just to see, to catch up, and I didn't get around to the podcast, so that's life. So I was in a fit of rage, right? I knocked over a bunch of boxes. It's like when I quit Applebee's, and I went in the kitchen to talk to the kitchen guys, and the kitchen guys like grabbed something off the shelf, and a bunch of stuff fell over, and the general manager ran in the kitchen. He thought I was back there destroying stuff. I just had my head in the doorway, like, talking to them. I was like, I didn't touch shit, bro. I did open my Series 5 today, though, and display them this afternoon. And I must say, huge, love the Luchasaurus figure from Series 5.
It looks great. It really does. I opened my box because, you know, you got graced with a chase. And even though my boxes, the packages I'm receiving are coming in the original box, then I was like, now I have to open these and check, even though I knew they couldn't fit one in there. And I looked at all of them. They all look great. They really do. The Luchasaurus looked good. Jungle Boy was in that one too, right? It was him and Jungle Boy.
Yes.
It must just be me and Kate dreaming that it was Marco Stunt. We really want a Marco Stunt. So, they all look really good.
I know someone just texted us, but as Yankee fans, I would imagine you two would be dialed into this no hitter going into the ninth inning that Corey Kluber is throwing.
Yeah.
No.
Five no hitters this season.
It's fantastic. Excuse me, my wife is calling me. Hold on 1 second. Yes, wife.
Hi, Matthew. Do you need anything from the ShopRite?
I don't need anything from the ShopRite, babe.
Aww.
Kate and Anthony say hello. All right.
Then you have to tell her you're live on air.
Oh, I am live on the air.
And so is she.
And so are you.
Hello. Hi, how are you, everybody? I'm at the ShopRite.
She's at the ShopRite.
She sounds thrilled.
Anthony says you sound thrilled.
I am super thrilled after waking up at 5:30 in the morning.
Well, that's what happens when you get a second job.
Second job. Whoa.
All right, no, I don't need anything from the ShopRite Beautiful.
Okay, well, apparently tomorrow night we're doing a little potluck at Jesse and Stacey, so I'm just making some pasta salad and some chicken.
Okay, will there be hamburgers? Will there be hamburgers?
I don't think so.
Oh, what kind of bullshit is this? Who's going to grill and not put out hamburgers?
Wow, rude.
They're just going to be portobello mushroom burgers.
All right, pasta salad and chicken it is.
Okay.
All right, I'll see you soon. Bye.
Love you.
Your wife calls to see if you need anything from ShopRite, and you yell at her about burgers.
Well, we're going to her friends tomorrow night, as you heard, I guess. I don't know how audible it was. They were inviting us over to try out the new grill. How are you not going to put fucking hamburgers on the new grill, Jesse and Stacy? What are we doing here?
At least some dogs. Maybe a brat.
I just want a cheeseburger. If I had a fucking cheeseburger, not like a fucking Burger King, if I had like a fucking grilled cheeseburger off of like a grill every day, not fucking Burger King or Wendy's, I would be the fucking happiest person in the world. I don't know how long I would live, but I'd be very happy.
Well, I think that's a good point. I don't know how long you'll live, but I think that compiled with the stress and anger that you're holding on to, that's probably going to be the factor you should worry about. The stress, the anger, that vein in your forehead that pops out when you get all riled up.
I don't feel like I have a lot of stress.
I assumed you would have gotten most of the rage out, A, on your drive to ringside collectibles, and B, doing your DDP.
I do. Yes, I'm enjoying my DDP. I feel good.
Hell yeah. The gang's getting back together. There's more of us in there again.
Yeah, you got to stick with it. Stick with it, people. The gang will be back together July 11th, too.
Oh, yeah.
Very exciting.
I guess we should probably let people know, right, in case they make their way down to Baltimore. So we know this is an AEW focused podcast, but we love wrestling of all kinds. So we are actually, the Mark Order podcast is going to take a trip July 11th to the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. What is it? Best in the World?
Yes.
Best in the World in Baltimore. It used to be like the UMCB Center or something like that. They changed the name. Who the hell knows? It's on the college campus, but that's where this all kind of started, and we're bringing it back because we're all vaxxed and we'll sit in a pod together.
I can't wait.
We had a couple of people in the Discord saying they wanted to make the trip, right?
Yes.
We did.
Yes, yes.
So that'll be fun. I can't wait. And we've got AEW that'll be coming back to Newark. They haven't officially like put anything out there saying that date's holding, but I mean, I'm looking forward to that as well.
As am I. I was trying to buy tickets last week because I got my refund. I was like, fuck this noise. Give me back my shekels. Who knows? But now it seems like the world's opening up again. I don't know if it's because I already bought tickets through Ticketmaster and then got them refunded. I couldn't buy tickets. So I reached out to Kate and I said, you got to help me, Kate. I said, there's these seats, section 103. They're the fucking first row. So they're like, I think the second or the third level up, but they're the first row. There's nobody in front of us. They're the four end seats. I was like, we got to score these tickets.
I don't know. So I didn't buy our tickets. The doctor who shall not be named bought our tickets. They're pretty good. But I don't, like, I was thinking about it. Like, if they don't open the whole place up, which I would hope by that time in the year the whole venue should be open, but if not, like, where would they move us to? You know what I mean? Like, if we had good seats and they were like, sorry, we've got to move your tickets, I would hope that they put us in just as good seats, because, you know, that's what we paid for.
I found great seat, fucking dead center with the fucking entrance right in front of us. First row, much better than the shitty tickets I brought for fucking Blood and Guts.
Why didn't you talk to the good doctor? He might have had extra tickets.
I don't know. I had originally bought six, but then, you know, we went down to four. So,
right. Well, we'll be there. I don't know where we'll be, but we'll be there.
We'll be in the house. It's a very exciting time. I was, as soon as I saw that on Monday about Ring of Honor, I fucking text the boss. I was like, I will work the farmer's market, but you got to give me the night off. Like, as soon as I'm done with the market, I'm done for the day. He was like, no problem. Like, yes.
Road tripping. We're taking this show on the road.
Are we? I can get the, I think I have the, I think I have the little recording thing still at Tony's.
No, we don't have to record on the road, but we'll be there if people want to hang out. If people are there and they're listening, we can coordinate a meetup. Let's do it.
My alarm is set. I'm getting those fucking tickets. I'm getting the fucking closest pod ever. I'll be in the fucking ring. I don't give a shit.
Just don't almost kill me like you did last time at Free Enterprise. That's all I ask.
It was unintentional. There was so much excitement. I can't make any promises. This will be the first live wrestling show I've been to since Free Enterprise.
Yeah.
It's going to go Matt and me.
Doctor.
In the pod. I can't take another risk of if somebody comes out and you high five them and you almost knock me out.
You know what?
I forgot about that.
Fair enough.
I was thinking.
I didn't to this day because my life was at stake. That was dramatic. But it was very funny. You went to high five Danny Maff and almost took me out.
Yeah, great point. You know what, Kate? Good point. I don't blame you. And you know what? This is going to be like a nighttime pay-per-view thing. I'm sure I'm going to start, I don't have to drive, so I'm sure I'll be fucking sucking back Jack and Cokes like they're fucking going out of style.
There it is. So it's going to be the Hosses sitting next to each other. And Ant is clearly the most emotionally even-keeled. So I'm going to sit next to him.
I'll lose my mind. I'm going to get in the ring.
Yeah, so you then are. It you're going to yell at LSG. You're going to be like, why were you at the top row?
Then it should be Matt, me, Kate, and then the doctor, because the doctor has weaseled his way into the pod. So
that's true.
So go ahead, Matt.
Nope, I'm not. I was going to break down the fourth wall, but I've decided not to.
Okay, well, break the walls down whenever you feel like it. But
break the walls down.
Do you guys also remember at that Free Enterprise show how excited we were in a pre-sexual allegation world when we all got to meet and take pictures with Marty's girl?
I marked out so hard. I was so excited. I was like a child. And then, that all fell apart pretty hard.
I still have that photo because of the fact Matt is between me and Marty. Like underneath us, just in that gap where you could see background, and Matt's giving his thumbs up and grinning really hard.
Oh my gosh.
I love that photo.
I had the biggest cheese grin on my face, and then I was like, Instagram, delete. But we have a great photo of all of us.
It's true.
Really? I don't know where that is.
I emailed and texted it to you guys.
Did you? Long time ago.
Lost in the cornucopia.
Do watch your mouth. You watch your fucking whore mouth. Right?
I'm very excited. I'm excited for live wrestling to return. I'm excited for the world to be opening up again. And to know that most of my friends are safe and responsible people. So we get to go party.
Let me ask you something, though. In the world of excitement, okay? I think I've reached a point with this Kenny Omega Impact World Champion thing where I kind of don't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I did want to talk about it, Matt, so thank you.
You're welcome.
I didn't see Under Siege Saturday, but I read about it. And I know that there was the 6-man tag team with Kenny and the Good Brothers versus Finn Juice and
Eddie Edwards.
I actually kind of couldn't believe that Omega and the Good Brothers lost that match just because of the way they've been kind of positioning him as being so strong against that Impact roster. But again, I didn't necessarily see it. So I don't know. I mean, part of me, here's the way I'm thinking, and I'm going to pose this to you guys, is Omega and the Good Brothers did lose a match before Kenny actually won the Impact title. So I know that they lost this match and Kenny will have to defend his title. They announced that he'll be defending against Moose at Against All Odds on June 12th. So do we think that they're setting this up the same way? They lose this match and then Kenny somehow retains, or we think he's going to drop it and that's going to be the end of this belt collector Kenny?
No, because there's like an underlying story with Sami Callihan where I think they're going to do Sami and Kenny at Slammiversary.
I think so, too. So I caught up on some of Under Siege. I wasn't like super impressed with what they put on for that show. But what I think is going to happen in the long run is I think Adam Page is going to beat Kenny for the AEW title. And then Kenny's going to unravel and lose all the belts. So I think the belt collector is going to lose one and then just like fall apart. But I am way more excited for Omega versus Moose. I just feel like a big part of it is that they never talk about Impact on AEW. Like, I feel like if they promoted on AEW, I'd be way more invested, but it just doesn't feel that important because they're just never talking about it on Dynamite. Like, I thought it was weird that they didn't do it building up to the match versus Swan, but like, they acknowledged it, and then they haven't really talked about it. So it just doesn't feel like the crossover part is there for me, and it's hard for me to stay invested because I'm like, this just doesn't feel important because you're never talking about it on your show. So it's like, yeah, the storyline's like a little muddy and kind of slow moving or whatever, but I'm like, I feel like I'd be way more interested if it just doesn't feel important because they're never talking about it on Dynamite.
Yeah, I think the bloom is off the rose with this experiment. And I don't, and I know you had it in your notes for later, Amp, but like, it's exciting that, that Andrade is going to wrestle Kenny Omega for the AAA Mega Championship. But if AEW goes the same route as they did leading up to Rich Swann against Kenny Omega, you know, is your casual wrestling fan going to know about this match? Or the, just a hardcore, you know, like, are they going to talk about it on Dynamite? And Dark Elevation, and the Rhodes TV show, and Rampage, and Streets of Rage, and every other weird name out there.
Final Fight. Wow. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of weird. Like, they sometimes decide to, like, bring up these other promotions and titles, like, out of nowhere. Like, every once in a while, they'll kind of, like, be like, oh, don't forget, Kenny's the AAA Mega Campeonato, you know, champion. So he's got, like, five belts. You know, like, they'll just kind of bring it up out of nowhere, and then they won't ever talk about it again. So that part I do find kind of weird. Like, all of their partnerships are so, it seems like they're so one-sided. But I, as far as your point, Matt, about that match, and again, well, we can talk about it later, all the details, but I think that the people who are fans of Andrade will definitely be in tune to what's going on because they were probably looking for him and where he was going. And I think you're definitely going to have some crossover from AEW. You know, you've got Kenny's been involved in AAA and the Lucha Brothers have been involved in AAA. They're belt holders, or I think they were at one point. I don't remember where the titles stand, but, you know, so there could be some of that crossover, but I don't know. I'm kind of with Kate, and I said it leading up to that Swan match. It's like, they don't talk about it. Why don't they talk about it? Like, they don't ever avoid talking about other wrestling, you know, companies or wrestlers. But, like, they just don't talk about these things that are sort of storyline driven in with their own promotion. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is a little weird. Corey Kluber threw a no-hitter.
Wow. Oh, interesting.
Yes.
The sixth one of the season. It is May 19th.
Holy I love cow. It. I'm all about the year of the pitcher, right. Baby.
Bring it on.
Yeah, it's just weird. I don't know. Is it kind of like we'll give you the talent and you have to promote it? I don't know.
Yeah, I really don't know. It's just kind of, like I said, it's kind of weird. It's like when it's going to be on their TV, they'll talk about it, but they don't really build up to it. Like the whole IWGP title defense, like they talked about that for like 2 weeks. And that was it. They haven't mentioned it again, like, or anything going on with IWGP title. I mean, to be honest, I don't really watch New Japan all that often. So I don't know if they're talking about it on New Japan either, but you would just think you had this guy on your show. You defended another belt's title on your show. There has to be some way you can continue to keep that discussion open and keep interest there, but maybe they don't have any plans. I don't know.
Yeah,
I wonder if they're waiting for a live crowd, like to do something in front of people, but it's just weird. I'm way more interested in Omega versus Moose, but I'm with Matt. I think he's going to drop to Callahan at Slammiversary. I almost said Wrestleversary.
Well, I don't think, I mean, I asked the question, but I don't think he's going to lose to Moose. He's going to hold it against Moose, and then he's got to drop it at Slammiversary. Like, you're not going to lose it before their biggest pay-per-view, right? Like, that has to be the story, that they get their belt back at their biggest show.
I'm sticking to my prediction.
I like it.
Slammiversary ends with Kenny Omega face-to-face with a returning Samoa Joe.
That would be sick.
But Kenny Omega will hold the belt.
He will. Because
so he's going to retain.
Look, with all due respect, the Impact roster is super talented. We can all agree that Moose is a superstar. I don't think Sammy O'Callaghan, Tommy Boy.
Yes.
I don't think Sammy Callahan, with all due respect, I don't think he's championship. Like, we need a shot in the, like, you're going to beat fucking Kenny Omega, one of the best wrestlers in the world. Like, if you're going to do it, you either need, you know, is that going to make Sammy O'Callaghan? Is that going to make Sammy Callahan a huge star? Probably not. But if
will it make him Irish as hell either?
Yeah. But I think if a returning Samoa Joe, like, that's a fucking dream match too. Samoa Joe, Kenny Omega, the fucking Impact would become like the spot. That match would be huge, and it just would make sense. And then Samoa Joe can pass the torch at some point in Impact to Moose.
Okay, but it's Moose. My dream for him to come to ROH at the Best in the World pay-per-view. So
he could do it all.
That is true. That is true. It's open season. Hey, Ant, what time is it?
Well, guys, I didn't do production over the weekend like I thought I was going to because I was doing my real work. But
how dare you?
It's time for a little tip of the schlong. With Ryan Schlong.
A little tip of the schlong.
We had the right name for 1 week.
No, I know that it's a little bit of the schlong, but I changed it. I said it's a little tip of the schlong.
I like the little tip of the schlong. I just want to point out 1 week.
Just the tip.
Just means we're improving. Every week's an improvement.
Right. We have to give the people what they want, but make it better because they don't know what they want.
Exactly. I do have an opinion real quick on the Impact thing because I watch Impact. They suckered me in with this. It is way more important on Impact about what's happening than AEW. Like, their announcers are constantly referencing it. Like, who's going to face Kenny Omega? This is for the pride of Impact. Like, six different wrestlers are referencing it. So you can definitely tell just by watching Impact. To them, this is everything. For with AEW, it's nothing. So I wonder if that was just kind of like, we'll give you Omega and you got to do your thing. Like, I think Matt said that maybe because for them, they are promoting the hell out of it. And they apparently have gotten the numbers from it. So
I got you a theme song, Ryan Schlong.
Uh-oh.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a little number I tossed off recently in the Caribbean. Isn't it awfully nice to have a penis? Isn't it frightfully good to have a dong? It's swell to have a stiffy. It's divine to own a dick. From the tiniest little tadger to the world's biggest prick. So three cheers for your Willie or John Thomas. Hooray for your one-eyed trouser snake. Your piece of pork, your wife's best friend, your Percy or your cock. You can wrap it up in ribbons, you can slip it in your sock. But don't take it out in public or they will stick you in the dock. And you won't come a bag. Oh, thank you very much.
There we go. I think every week we play a penis song for a little tip of the schlong until we find out what fits the segment.
I'm curious because I want to see when you run out of penis songs.
It'll be
There's
quick.
A lot of dick songs out there, man.
I don't know. I just threw penis song in YouTube and I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
I put one in this chat. I hope it's there.
Oh, it's there. That is Hooker with a Penis by Tool is there.
It's a good one.
Yeah. The penis song beats me.
Well, it is time for a little tip of the schlong with Ryan Schlong joining us again this week. Ryan, you know why you're here. You know what we like to do. We're here to talk about Dark Elevation and Unleavened Dark. So why don't we start with Elevation? Now, I did watch Elevation through the day today. I think I told Matt and Kate earlier in the day, oh God, I thought it was Tuesday. So thank you for reminding me it's Wednesday. So I was watching Elevation thinking, well, I'll watch Unleavened Dark later and I'll have plenty of time to get it in before the show tomorrow. Too bad it was tonight. So I saw Elevation, and I know you have some notes on it, so I'll let you kind of talk through it. But I think we're on the same page when I could say, oh boy, I do not like the fact that they're increasing the length of this show. Oh, unlike your schlong, Ryan, I don't like how they're increasing the length of this show.
Yeah, the schlong always stays short, but this, they went from an hour and a half to 2.5 hours on Elevation. I mean, that's that extra hour is a huge commitment. And then you're back to 2 hours on regular Dark. I mean, good matches, but you can't spread that out over the next however many weeks. I mean, some of these matches are storyline, but some of them aren't. So you don't, they're not tied into when they get aired. It's just, that is a long commitment. I'm hoping now that they're on the road, like you guys have been saying, it cuts it down.
I have a question. I watched about an hour of Elevation today. Is Paul White always that fucking bad?
So the one caveat I have to give is I don't hear a lot of the announcing because I listen to you guys on Monday. So I'm watching them and listening to you. But from what I do listen, because I go back and re-listen to parts if I want to hear what he said specifically. Yeah, he's very awkward. He's better in the interviews than the actual color commentator.
All right, yeah, because it was I was opening my Series 5 figures and my other action figures that I got today. I had some time to kill, and man, like, he would say shit and I would just like stop and look, like, ugh.
He hasn't found the balance of funny to educational to just telling a story. Like, it seems to all get mixed in with him, and it's like Taz does a really good job of it. Taz can educate you in a match, make you laugh, and also just tell you an old story. Paul White hasn't gotten there yet, and I don't know if he will. I mean, I hope so, but he is not the best. So that's why I don't even complain when I'm listening on mute. I mean, watching on mute, because I'll have you guys on and you guys actually can talk a little bit.
You're talking about the other two on Monday night, not me.
Much mouth quiet.
I appreciate it, but again, as I said earlier, you guys give me way too much fucking credit.
Well, what I can say about Paul White, Matt, is this week more than prior weeks, I feel like there were a few times where like he just like he started talking and didn't know where he wanted to go, and he just kind of lost track, and there was like he was kind of hung out there, and like even Shivani didn't have a way to save him. So this week it seemed more than the prior weeks to me. He's not great, but he's definitely not as bad as, you know, like the Impact team, or, you know, whoever else you want to bring up. He's definitely not that bad. He's been getting better. This week was not great.
And let me tell you, what a fucking rib. The first time I decided to watch AEW Dark Elevation, and the opening match has Jungle Boy in it. And not only is he flanked by Luchasaurus, but he's flanked by that no talent, no good hack fucking, he should be the ring boy. He should be carrying everyone's jackets and their socks. That fucking gross, nasty, useless Marco Stunt was on my goddamn screen.
I want Matt to be Marco Stunt's young boy more than anything.
I'm fucking I'm double his age.
So? Brennan Cutler's not that young.
It's true.
Fuck out of here. If you said you could work for AEW, but you got to be Marco Stunt's young boy, I'd be like, nope, I'm going on the pizza truck. Fuck out of here.
Ringside Collectibles, if by some miracle you are listening, a Marco Stunt chase figure is all I want in the world. I will help make it happen somehow. We can go fund me it. I just want Matt to have the entire collection and have to get a Marco stunt chase figure.
Kate, I got good news and I got bad news for you. Good news is I'm in. Bad news is they're expanding the chase figures to 1 in 1,000 and 1 in 3,000. So the odds of me finding a Marco stunt chase figure like in the garbage or on the ground at a Target or Walmart is very high. So I'm all for it.
I was going to say, Kate, not even a chase. Just give us a standard figure because then he has to have it.
He has to have it. I want it to be a chase and I want them to make 20 of them.
I will. I got to look. I bought the fucking Rio figure.
Right. I know you did. I know it would drive you nuts. You would have to have it.
It's not going
to
drive me nuts. It's part of the collection.
All right.
Let's get back to the tip of the schlong. I'm really missing a little bit of Ryan right
Sorry, schlong.
So, no, it's fine because I think Matt should watch Dark, the regular Dark, because there's a nice Marco stunt match on that against Cesar Bononi. So I think that was done for you specifically.
I would rather have somebody shoot me in the eyes with acid from a water gun.
I did enjoy right there, just so you both know, Matt and Kate, I did enjoy Ryan Schlong's very subtle Philly accent. Marco stunt versus Cesar Bononi.
It ain't that subtle.
I don't re-listen, but I re-listen once, and I hate my accent. I hate that I have one.
We hate it too, Philly.
You know what, though? I hate the sound of my own voice, but it drives me to do this show because I think I'd love to hate myself.
Yeah.
Well, we love to hate you too, Matt.
May I bring up another point before we resume tip of the schlong, and this will tie it all together though, Mr. Schlong.
Go ahead.
Here's how I watched like an hour of Elevation and I looked at the Dark results because I was doing all the tags and bullshit for the episode. Here is the way my brain works. AEW Dark Elevation, AA. Dark, AAA. Because you see, I think the talent on Dark in terms of who is doing the losing, maybe there's a little more upside to them. Like you see Marty the Moth was on Dark. Roosman, who I know does a lot of stuff with WrestlePro Alaska.
Daniel Garcia, who rules.
Yeah, what's he, Red Murder or something like that? Is that what his gimmick
is? Death. Yeah, Red he's Death. Great.
I feel like those guys are a little more seasoned. Like you could find your next Allen Angels, Nick Camarado out of that group versus like, no offense to Adrian Alanis, or like the Jalen Brandon and Trayvon Jordans of the world. I just feel like the people that we saw on Dark might be a little closer to taking that next step.
So I agree to an extent. I think Elevation sometimes throws on guys who are already, like you'll see matches of like one of the matches is Dustin Rhodes versus Aaron Solo. Both guys are already on the main roster. So the Elevation will give you those matches where Dark won't. But with Dark, you actually have the chance of seeing someone who will become someone. You know, so your point of who loses on Elevation, they likely won't be in the near future. I mean, maybe somewhere down the road, but Dark, that's where they tend to start building someone with their losses and let them lose a bunch. Then all of a sudden they start to win. And I agree with you there because I look through the names and it definitely feels like that Elevation's people who are losing, I haven't really heard of at all. Whereas Dark's I have. But on Elevation, the one flip side is you see guys who have already kind of been featured a lot and they'll give you like competitive matches for those guys specifically. So it's kind of a weird mix where they do need to differentiate that a little bit more, I think, on what you're, that's one thing they could work on is which show is giving you what, because I think it worked better if Elevation was giving you all guys who've kind of already been established and Dark is for the guys you want to see start to come up. And right now they pretend both do that. And I don't think that's right for the shows, because I think giving them a different flavor makes it an easier watch.
You know, it was interesting this week more than the others. I kind of noticed with Elevation, like, we had more marquee names, right? Like there were more almost like marquee name matches, like, you know, Dustin Rhodes and Aaron Solo, right? Like we know who Aaron Solo is. He's been on Dynamite. So we had basically a Dynamite competitors match on Elevation. We had Moxley and Eddie versus Danny Limelight and Royce Isaacs. Like we know who those guys are. So I don't know if they're trying to kind of like put bigger named quote unquote matches on Elevation to try to hook people to come in and watch. But, you know, I do, it was long, but I kind of enjoy Elevation a little bit more than Dark. I just feel like the show, there's something about that show that I feel like is a little more put together. I did like one thing on this week's Elevation. We got the Acclaimed versus Kevin Bennett and Kevin Blackwood. Kevin Squared, also KBs. Could this be the new Killer Bees? That's where my mind is.
Blackwood's awesome, by the way. I love that dude.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have a problem with a lot of the matches on Elevation. I mean, I was kind of watching it in the background while I was doing other stuff, but I thought it was a pretty solid show. I mean, Ryan, what would you call out, you know, about this show? Some of the high points.
So I think for the women, you'd want to see Killian King versus Bunny. I think they're working hard on Bunny to make her someone you want to see in the Dynamite division. Hardy did a promo on her and how she's become more evil and more aggressive under him, basically. And overall, though, the best match to me, I'm trying to remember so I don't butcher it. Brian Cage and Mike Seidel put on a very good match. And I just want to make sure I had my nights right. But it was they're blending and it's not good. Yeah, I think it's on.
It's like so many hours of content. Those Seidel brothers know how to give Brian Cage good matches, huh? Damn.
Yeah, no, it's on night two. So, but I'll tell you my night two match in a second. But yeah, I would say Mike Seidel versus Brian Cage and then Kylan King versus Bunny are the highlights. There's a couple of fun matches throughout there, but they're the two best.
Yeah, I enjoyed Archer and Bear Bronson.
Yes,
and,
that's night one, right?
Yeah, legit Layla and Markova, who I'm not familiar with, but I know she has kind of a presence on social media, and they did mention she's the Shimmer champion. I enjoyed that match. Yes. I thought Layla looked great.
Yeah, they're really pushing Layla hard on Elevation, and I know she's appeared on Dark a few times, so I think eventually we're probably going to see Layla jump over to to Unleavened Dark.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Ann. I did also enjoy the sit down with Ryan Nemeth.
Yep.
Yeah, that was weird though, because he's a heel right now, and that was kind of likable. So I get what they're doing. They want you to get to know him, but it still felt a little weird that you have this guy who's a heel and he's comes off fairly likable in that interview. I mean, it was really good. I enjoyed it. It just felt, you know, you should have maybe done that earlier on before you fully established him in this. What I actually like is the best part of the Darks shows is the pretty wingman stable.
Yeah.
Peter Avalon is such a gift. I made a note of that tonight. His facial expression singing Jericho. Theme, like he's so underrated. What a riot. And I love what JD Drake is doing too, so that's a lot of fun. But I do feel like he's a heel that can at least play a likable heel. Like he leans more into that like Jericho silly kind of heel than he does, I think, like a Pinnacle rough kind of heel. But I get what you're saying. It's like, I'm supposed to hate you and you're going out of your way to make me like you, but I get it.
Has anyone ventured into that, what's her name, Lexi whatever that YouTube show is?
I saw like the first two, like the Abaddon one, which was hilarious. And then I caught another one. I don't remember where. I know this Friday she's doing Andy, you know, the Butcher, which I saw a clip of that as a side note. I saw a clip of that where she was like talking about something. He's like, Miro didn't know, like people don't know I play in a band. And Miro was like, you play in a band? I want to know everything about it.
I think I just want to watch it because I don't think his voice fits his face, and that fascinates me.
It is.
It's very funny when you see him, like, you know, before he was a wrestler, when you see him on stage, he's got an ominous presence. You know, he's a big dude and he's, you know, playing guitar and wailing and, you know, he's scary enough on stage, but you're right. When you hear his voice, it just doesn't match.
Nope. Yeah. I've watched. Oh, sorry, Ryan.
Sorry, I didn't think you were speaking. You can go. You're still okay. On the topic.
It's usually the what happens. Most people just tune me out. I listened to him, The Butcher and the Blade, on the Jericho podcast, and for the first 25 minutes, Pepper Park sounds the way you think Andy would sound.
Yeah.
And fun. Andy sounds like Pepper Park. It's very trippy.
It is.
I was just gonna say I've watched all the Lexi episodes because I've loved that they're doing them in character. I thought that I wasn't gonna watch it until I saw the Abaddon one where she didn't speak the whole time.
Yeah, I love that they're doing. It's isn't it called Outside the Ring too? And they're just still in gimmick. I love that. I think that's so much fun that they're in gimmick, but it's
Max outside Caster's the ring. Is good. Max Caster switches position every question. Like his sitting position. So like.
How long are the episodes?
What, 15 minutes? They're real quick.
Yeah. They're fast.
They're not long. They make it seem like with the first episode, they made it seem like it was going to be like a half hour show and it was like 10 minutes. I think they're between 10 and 15 minutes, so they're pretty quick.
I have a dark question for you, Schlong.
Okay.
Do you know why we didn't get the Ren Narita Royce Isaacs match on Dark that was advertised? Get off, Nelly.
I don't. I'm trying to think if maybe I left it off, but I don't think I did.
No, it wasn't. It's not on there at all.
Okay.
Like they didn't. It wasn't even on YouTube. It's not on you. Here it says.
No, I was just trying to make sure I didn't forget to put it in because again, these start to blend together.
No, you're good. Here, I pulled up the results and it says the advertised Ren Narita Royce Isaacs match was not on the show for unknown reasons. So I don't know if you heard something through.
They didn't talk about it.
That's a bummer because I really like Ren Narita and Royce Isaacs, and I thought that would have been a fun match to watch.
I also have questions.
Oh.
No, so it's this QT Marshall Agogo promo that was like circulating after Dark too. Like heel babyface, like it felt a little bit muddy to me, but it seems like you also feel that way. I don't know if you guys saw it, but I was like, definitely started feeling heel and then it kind of ended face-ish. And it made me wonder if they're setting up a double turn.
He starts off insulting the American South just very generically, which is heel. Meaning you're slobs, right. You're the South. But then he just starts calling out legitimate problems with America. And it's like, are you the heel or are you the face? Like it didn't, I don't think they exactly know where they're going. I mean, he's a good talker, so kind of, I don't care. I just want to see him punch someone in the stomach. But it does feel like they're not sure how to make the anti-American thing go right now because all his criticisms seem pretty legitimate. And I thought with the British guy, it'd be easy. Just make him arrogant.
Well, my take on this is this. It's heel because it's anti-American. No matter if his points are valid or not, the average wrestling fan, no offense, is going to be like, you're against America? Fuck you. And he's a heel. With Ryan, I'm kind of with him. It's like, wow, he actually is talking about real things that aren't great. But I think it's just simply, I think people are looking too deep. I think it's just he's anti-America. He's a heel. That's it.
You know who else talked about America being shitty and was one of the greatest? Bret the Hitman Hart. Okay.
Yeah, but he was a heel in that era.
He's goddamn. Yeah, but he was over as fuck when they went to Canada and he did it.
Well, sure, because it's Canada.
That's right.
Canada hates America. Look, just like the UK hates America. Yeah, guess what? We hate you.
Yeah, and guess what? Anthony Agogo's not wrong. There's a bunch of shitty shit going on in America. He just calls it like he sees it, you know?
But he ain't from here. That's he can't right. talk shit on us.
Right.
Wow, you guys just very clearly built the story, I think, better than they've been doing on AEW television. So kudos to you. And then the other thing I wanted to, I mentioned Daniel Garcia versus Janela. I didn't check out anything this week, but it sounds like that one was worth going back and checking because I love me some Simmer of Death. He's awesome in the ring.
They gave him a real match. They didn't, awesome. By no means was that a squash or to put Janela over. That was a real match. Like I knew Janela would win the whole time, but if I didn't know who Janela was, the story of the match, that could have went either way.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. I do want to point one thing out just so I don't forget it. I'm reading my notes. It's Baron Black did something on his Twitter after his loss because he's been losing the whole time. And it was a really good interview. And he did have Marvez there. So I don't know if it was they were an AEW thing or he's just going out on his own. But I like to see, you know, a storyline from Dark carrying over to one guy who gets all the losses. Like I think that's a nice, you know, something you can do. Make it worthwhile.
Is it too soon to do a storyline that we already saw them do on Dark, though, when it was Peter Avalon and Brandon Cutler with their losing streaks?
Yeah, they're kind of doing it with Fuego right now, too, right? So it's like, same.
Well, they all they all kind of mentioned that though, but Fuego, I think Baron Black might have even mentioned it too, that like, hey, you saw these guys lose and then they got a match, they got a win, and suddenly their careers are turning around. So all I need is to get my win and I can be something. So it's a nice way of taking the old storyline and making it kind of fresh, of like of wrestlers saying, I've seen this work, now I just have to do it for myself. You know, not that I know.
I like that it's justified though. It's kind of like they at least acknowledged that they're recycling a little bit, and they're not recycling on the main show either. So makes sense.
I have a dark question. We know TK loves to spend that Skrilla on some theme songs. Please tell me this Falco guy came out to Rock Me Amadeus.
No. What the That's fuck? The running joke, though.
Come on, Tony Khan. What are you doing? His fucking name is Falco.
Motherfucking yeah. Falco and shit. Well, he's not going to spend money on Falco's Rock Me Amadeus if the guy's not really signed with the company, right?
Come on, what's it cost? Fucking $6? I'll fucking Venmo Tony Khan $6 for Rock Me Amadeus. Is Falco alive?
I'm sure they are. We need to look it up. Sure, somebody do the research.
Well, I'm doing it right now. I got to know, is Falco dead?
Well, jumping from Elevation to regular Dark.
He's fucking dead. He's been dead for 22 years.
You know, I'm sure that it's more than one person.
No, Falco. He had, god damn. He drove his motorcycle into a bus and he died.
My God, were Eddie Kingston and Mox involved?
God.
Was he trying to hit the Elite's trailer?
He was planning a comeback tour, which was successful.
Yeah, man. With him, it's fucking Falco.
Out of the dark.
I just want you guys to know 6 hours ago, Matt was like, let's try to not do a marathon episode tonight. And now he's looking up Rock Me Amadeus.
I'm trying to keep us on track. So Ryan, the big hook this week on Dark, kind of building up to it, was that they were going to announce some of the competitors for the Battle Royal. I have that list here. They announced 10 apparently of the 21. It was Christian Cage and Matt Sydal. We knew that already. But they announced Will Hobbs, Matt Hardy, Isaiah Cassidy, Mark Quinn, Evil Uno, Ten, Kate's Boo, Colt Cabana, and Marco Stunt.
Why?
I'm just kidding. It was Jungle Boy.
He got beat on Dark. He's a fucking jobber.
It was Jungle Boy. I'm just kidding.
You're a jobber.
So we got the first 10, and then I think tonight they might have announced the rest, but I didn't write them down, so I might have them, I might not. But so that was kind of the big hook for this week, that they wanted you to watch to get those 10 names. But the rest of the show, I think, was pretty standard, right, Schlong?
For the most part, I would, if you're going to watch, go watch Statlander versus Diamante. I really hope they start doing more with Diamante. She seems to always have a good match, seems to always be hard-hitting. She's always losing, but still. I hope they start doing something with her. I mean, Statlander looked great, but that was the match of the night. And then I have to mention a moment. There's in the Evil Uno and Colt Cabana versus two guys match, Colt Cabana accidentally rolled over onto Uno, and I've never heard Taz have a more genuine laugh in his entire, like, he could not get over how they didn't know where each other was on the mat, and he just laughed for minutes. So it's really stupid, but for a stupid wrestling moment, it's worth a watch because it's at the end of a match. They really didn't do much with the rest of this show. I mean, I was going to wonder if they were going to start making Julia Hart part of Varsity Blondes, but they answered that tonight because she was there the whole time. And that was, I mean, this was one of, like, you know, Elevation had a lot of storylines. This one didn't, except for the video package for Velvet, so for her match with Deep. That was well done. And it actually gave you something. And the Acclaim made a music video on Mox and Kingston. So if you want to go watch music video.
Well, we don't not pay you to watch hours and hours of bonus footage. So
I watch all of it.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm with you on Diamante. The irony with all the Evil East drama is I feel like Diamante and Thunder Rosa are like perfect opponents because they both hit pretty hard. Like Diamante works not like insanely stiff, but stiff enough. So I feel like those two could really go in like a singles feud at some point. So I'm hopeful for that. But that's one that I wanted to go and check out too, because I heard good things all around.
We also saw Sonny Kiss lose to Serpenico, right, on Dark?
Yeah, I don't understand it. I mean, I get Serpenico is not like a nobody, but he's also, why wouldn't not you just give Sonny that win, at least something on Sonny's, you know, record sheet? But maybe they'll feud Sonny and Janela versus the Chaos Project just to give you a minor feud that doesn't really exist, because those two, while they're together, don't really have a story. It didn't make sense to me, but at the end of the day, it's also not a big deal because it is a dark match.
Sure.
So you watched, what, let's see, like 3 hours or 4 hours, my apologies, like 4 hours of Dark.
4.5.
So after all of this Dark, Ryan, what would you say is your ribbed for her pleasure wrestling match of the week?
Just give us a tip.
I want to compare all. I honestly think, man, you put me on the spot with Ribbed for Her Pleasure. I want to make sure that she likes it.
That's right. Well, it's ribbed for her pleasure, not for yours. So
sure, I mean, I'll give you one on each night. I'd give you Seidel and Cage on night one, and I'd give you Diamante and Statlander on night two.
Boom.
Those are the, there it is. If you're going to watch, those are the two to watch.
Just the tip, just for a minute, just to see how it feels. That's a little tip of the schlong. And his ribbed for her pleasure, Dark.
I can't wait for this to escalate to the point where he just doesn't come on because it just got way too uncomfortable. It'll just be some bukkake at some point.
He'll decide to exit.
Mish long in that scenario.
He'll decide to leave when we finally get like sponsored by Blue Chew or Trojan or something like that, and they'll be like, "Fuck, our whole segment is gone."
Dark is going to be like a 6.5 hour marathon.
Yeah.
No. Once they go back on the road, those shows are going to come back down to earth.
I think so too.
They have. Now you have Rampage.
Well, we'll get to Rampage.
I'm just saying it's got to shorten the shows even more now that you're adding that third hour on TV. There's no way you want to still be putting.
Totally. But
all right.
Well, that's Dark. So thanks, Ryan. We appreciate you talking through 4.5 hours of TV that we can't be bothered to watch.
No problem. Have fun with the rest of the show, you guys. And I want to say I could have slowed this all down by asking Matt if he's enjoyed the Son of Sam documentary, but I did not.
Well, thank you. He's on it. He's off in his own world. He probably thinks it's fantastic. I heard good things about it.
He's still looking up Rock Me Amadeus bullshit.
He's probably listening to it.
No, I got an outro for Ryan Schlong. And the Son of Sam documentary, very interesting. Highly recommend it. Check it out.
It was very good.
And we will be missing our Schlong when he leaves. There he goes.
Smart. He was like, I'm out of here.
He knows when to hit it and quit it. That's Ryan Schlong, folks. So I think we're gonna step aside for a minute here, Matt, and you know, take a little break. We're gonna come back and we're gonna talk about Dynamite and some other things that happened in the week of AEW.
Sounds good to me. Fair warning, I missed the opening match of Dynamite, so when we do the recap, you don't have to go to me. I didn't get to see it. I'm sorry, I had to wash my smelly ass and balls from being on the truck all day.
It's smelly bad. Ass and balls.
Yeah, John Silver style. He's nice. Got those smelly balls.
See, we're not sponsored by Manscaped. You can't just crop mop them anymore. They dropped us.
I need a lot more than a fucking crop mop today, Kate. I'll tell you that right
commercial,
now.
Commercial.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years, but when it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantemradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app, and it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to ShiningWizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
Horns up, everyone. When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure every Friday to check out Radioactive Metal. Radioactive Metal is one of the longest-running podcasts on the interweb, and every week we bring you a fist full of metal, including interviews with all your favorite artists, discuss all the metal news, and feature the best tunes on the air today. So grab a Lemmy, join your cool Uncle Snowy, and co-host Aaron in the pit.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the Impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Journey is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
What's up, wrestling fans? You want something awesome? Check out Wrestling Night in Canada here on the Shining Wizards Network. We're three Canadian metalheads uniting for the love of pro wrestling. Every episode we go over all the latest news and special events with the odd unique interview as well. So grab a cold one and check out Wrestling Night in Canada, eh?
Hey. We're back. You know what I just noticed?
What'd you notice?
If you're watching on Facebook, appreciate you. Love the support. Please tell your friends about the Mark Order podcast. Join the Mark Order, Mark Order podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. This is a Miracle Violence Connection t-shirt. I don't know why Terry Bam Bam Gordy looks like Johnny Ace, but this is Terry Bam Bam Gordy, people. It's bothering me looking at it, seeing it, the reflection. Dr. Death, Bam Bam, not Johnny Ace.
Not people power?
Not people power. Although, Kate, if you're looking for some homework.
I'm always looking for wrestling homework.
John Laurinaitis, Johnny Ace, very successful All Japan pro wrestling career. Like, super, your head will spin if you watch some Johnny Ace, and then you realize that he later became John Laurinaitis.
I'll have to get into that. I have not seen really any All Japan stuff other than other things that you've like recommended, like offshoot wise.
Yes, sorry. So
I will dig in.
Yes, completely off topic. My apologies.
It's all right, because we got a little time to fill here, because I've got bad news for everybody.
Give it to me, please.
There were no rankings this week. That is an absolute shoot, Kate. So while you were going to wrap the rankings again for us, there are no rankings to wrap.
Okay. I had a bad day today. All right. Not a bad day, but just a day where a bunch of dumb shit happened. Okay. I woke up. I have my morning routine. I meditated. I accidentally knocked my computer over. I busted my charger. Had to go get a new charger. On my way there, I get myself an iced coffee. But first, I sit down in my car and I like burn off my thighs because it was fucking 88 degrees and the first day in shorts. So my leather seats are burning me. I was like, fuck it. I'm getting an iced coffee. Then I'm all shaky and weird because I had to take Adderall for my ADHD. I had too many stimulants in my systems at once. So I'm like, I'm just going to drive to Best Buy. I'm going to calm myself down. I'm going to take it easy. And then I was like, oh, I'll text Matt about the rankings wrap this week to see who's doing it. Is he jumping back in? And you know what he says to me, good people at home? I'm not your monkey boy. I'm done with this.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Let me just stop. Hold on. First of all, I texted you at almost 4 o'clock. Would you wake up at fucking noon?
No, I woke up earlier than that. Whatever. It was a weird day, okay?
I'm just saying, your story made it seem like, oh, you woke up, you went, who goes, what are you going to fucking Best Buy for? What is it, 1998?
I just told you I busted my charger, and I needed a new one.
Sorry, I was
Everything went wrong today. I did a bunch of errands. I had my iced coffee. My last errand was to go to Best Buy and get my new charger so that I could have the computer ready so I could do this podcast because I show up all the time, Matt.
So, I just
no
want
rankings
to,
wrap and no hold, rankings.
Hold on.
My life is
guess
ruined.
What, Kate? We're tied. All right, Mark Werder podcast. No Matt, no Kate. It's 1-1. Don't forget who wasn't here for fucking draft spectacular, whatever weird bullshit secret agent job you do, Kate. So don't try and throw me under the fucking bus.
So I want to
agent so far from
still,
secret
I still
agent.
Don't know what you're fucking. How
I don't
you
know what
living.
I do either. I used to know, and then a pandemic happened. I don't know what the fuck I do anymore. I'm very upset. And now there's no rankings, which I'm like half glad about, but half sad about.
Well, despite all of your first world problems, Kate.
So many. Just so much dumb
I want to listen, I want to say, listen, you had a bad day. You're taking one down. You sing a sad song just to turn it around. You know, you say you don't know, you tell me don't lie, you work at a smile, and you go for a ride. You had a bad day. The camera don't lie. You're coming back down, and you really don't mind. You had a bad day, all right?
I had a bad day.
You had a bad day. Okay.
I did.
Where is the moment we need it the most? Oh, Kate. I'm sorry.
I know. You kick up the leaves and the magic. I know it's tough. It's tough. And you just wanted some rankings wrap, but you didn't even want to do it. If I can break down the wall now, I find it funny how Kate really wants this bit to keep going, but you won't own it.
I will, but that was not what we got into. Matt did it 1 week organically, and he was like, oh, great. This way Kate can like the rankings and we can make it fun and we have like a bit for the show. Second week, he bailed. Third week, he bailed on the show entirely because he was so embarrassed by his performance.
Second week was a fucking 747 plane crash. It was almost as bad as 9/11, okay?
Whoa.
All right, it was bad. And at that point, I said, I can't do this. For the listeners of the Mark Werder podcast, I can't commit to looking at the rankings every Wednesday and writing a rap. It's literally me pulling it up in the middle of the show and then trying to spitball something. And it's just not what I do. Okay?
I offered to split the workload with you. It hurt. And this is just making me, we talk about The Office like every episode. Now all I can think about is that Goodbye My Lover episode with Michael just playing the intro to that song but not buying it.
Man, he just needs a taste.
Why don't you just buy it?
Well, there we go. We filled the time. So basically what happened was Matt was like, I'm not doing the rankings rap anymore. And they were like, well, we're not even going to bother putting out rankings then. What's the point if Matt's not going to rap them for us?
Look, I wish I had that much pull. Let me ask you a question. Watching the music video to Bad Day, the girl orders a hot dog, and the hot dog guy puts mustard on it instead of ketchup. Would that really ruin your day?
No, that's the only way you should eat a goddamn hot dog.
Right. What kind of savage puts fucking ketchup on their hot dogs?
I go naked. I just have my plain dog.
Psychopaths put ketchup on a hot dog.
Why don't you just have a fucking turkey dog and call it a day, you fucking weirdo? A plain turkey hot dog.
My one regret, my one hot dog regret in life was I went to Chicago one time, and at one point there was a place in Chicago called Doug's Dogs, and they had all these different hot dogs, and they had like alligator hot dogs and like fucking kangaroo hot dogs. Like, it had all these crazy hot dogs and of course regular stuff. This place was supposed to be so good, like when they opened, like if you weren't in line, you weren't getting anything. Like, the line was so long, and it's gone now. Doug has ended the dogs.
No.
I mean, years ago he closed up shop, probably at the height of his goddamn popularity. Never got to go there. It's a giant regret.
Seven. As somebody,
hey, Matt.
Who, yes.
If you were a hot dog and you were starving, would you eat yourself?
Okay, if you're going to do the Harry Carey voice, you got to do the Harry Carey voice.
I know, I was laughing too hard through it.
As someone who is in the food truck industry, just so you know, the exotic meats can all be found at Restaurant Depot, okay? It's not some fucking, there's not some magical meat man, okay?
95%. Of course.
There is a magical meat man. His name is John Silver. How dare you?
His name is Trevor. For you all out there who think like, oh, this exotic food guy is getting some meat from some exotic. No, he's going to fucking Restaurant Depot, okay? Surprise, 95% of the food trucks just go to Restaurant Depot and buy that gross-ass shit. So just think before you pick a food truck. Pizza Vita, guess what? We make it all in front of you. And
yeah, I know. Baby A was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever
ringing
seen.
Ringing indoors, still talking about it. He can't wait for me to go back to Bloomingdale. Cannot wait. Shut
this kid up about that goddamn pizza truck. So yeah, no rankings this week. We don't have a reason why. Went looking for them, couldn't find them. AEW site doesn't even list rankings for this week.
Easy, Bono.
What?
You still haven't found what you're looking for.
Did I say I haven't found what I'm looking for, or are you just putting that together?
You were looking, they weren't there. There's no reason.
Oh, all right. Well, I was like, I don't remember saying I haven't found what I'm looking for.
But
to
your point, it's super weird because they referenced the fucking rankings all night through the show.
They did. And then part of me thought maybe like, oh, okay, like they weren't going to change the rankings or something because we're leading into the pay-per-view, but they always do. So I don't know, just an oversight. They didn't do rankings today. Maybe it's got something to do with the fact that next week the show is not happening on Wednesday. Maybe they're pushing the rankings a day or two. Who the hell knows? But we'll talk about it all. But that just means that we get to jump right into Dynamite now, guys.
So I know I said I didn't watch the opening match, but before you start talking at Dynamite, I want to shout out Casey Catal, who was a guest on our show Monday night. Yeah. She says she listens to the Mark Order podcast, so I just wanted to shout out Casey. If Danny Moff doesn't kill you, I hope you continue to listen to the Mark Order podcast.
Casey,
thank you for listening. Yeah.
Is going to kick Danny Moff's ass. Whoa. And also, I would like to point out that Matt also rapped on the Monday night show. So there is that, as did the whole crew. But listen to that episode anyway, because Casey's amazing.
It's got to be organic, Kate. Stop forcing it. That's why Jim Ross don't come around no more. That's why Taz don't hang out no more.
No, I mean, that's because Ant doesn't go to Jacksonville anymore. He can't get those sweet interviews.
All right, fair
kayfabe, enough. Kayfabe,
bro. Kayfabe. Bro, kayfabe. I was going to fucking Jacksonville every week.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
Matt.
Yeah,
anyway.
Matt. What the fuck, Matt?
Well, thanks for listening, Casey Catal, as Matt said.
Yay!
Casey Catal, one of the most fun guests I ever sat in on a Shining Wizards Monday night show for. And I still, to this day, don't understand why people decide to do deathmatch wrestling. So getting into Dynamite. Pack show, a lot of stuff going on. It was the Go Home Wednesday night show to the pay-per-view. And again, we will talk about some of the schedule changes coming up. But we opened the show with Christian Cage versus Matt Sydal after our intro video. This was kind of built up last week where Cage said he was entering the Battle Royal. Matt Sydal came in and said, well, I'm going to win the Battle Royal. But before that, I got you next week. So that's why they got to this this match. Yes, Matthew.
Can you please refer to Christian as Christian? Because when you thought Cage, I was like, Brian Cage is not in the Battle Royal. He is wrestling Hangman Adam Page at the pay-per-view.
My apologies. There are two Cages. There's Cages and Pages and Sydals.
Just do this. Just look for your peeps if you're going to call them Page so we know which one.
Yeah. Cage, Christian, that is. And Matt Sydal. So this was a pretty fun opening match, Matt. You didn't see it. I'd say definitely go back and check it out. It was a pretty fun opening match. You know, it was competitive, but we all kind of, I think, figured that Christian Cage was going to get the win, and he did via the kill switch. And then post-match, we had some antics where Christian basically, you know, picks up Matt Sydal. He gives him a little hug, shakes hands, and then all of a sudden, bam, Absolute Ricky Starks music hits, and he comes out in his jacket, no shirt. Very good look for a guy with a neck injury. He says that he's his own man, despite what people have heard. And he's front and center. He's not going to be sitting on the sidelines. And then basically says, we've got something we've got to take care of now. And he kind of calls people out from the back. Nobody shows up. And then bam, Team Taz jumps in the ring from behind. Hook Brother comes in and puts down Matt Sydal. And Brian Cage is now beating down Christian Cage. I don't know why you'd want to do that to your own cousin, but the Cage cousins are now fighting. Powerhouse Will Hobbs is also there helping out. Brian Cage does hit a powerbomb. And then the Varsity Blondes and Julia Hart, or I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. A save is made by Hangman Adam Page. Sorry, my notes are all out of order. And then it gets broken up a little bit, so clearly we're kind of building to the Brian Cage and Hangman Adam Page match going on Sunday. And then as things break down, we kind of go into our Varsity Blondes interview segment. So before we get there, yes, Matthew?
I just want to remind everybody, I missed this match because...
He knows he's got a stinky asshole and he's got those smelly balls.
I know.
That's true. So Matt missed the match because he had to wipe his smelly balls, an asshole.
I had to wash, not wipe. Who wipes their smelly balls?
You got wipes, don't you?
I'm done for the day. I shower, brother.
It's fine. You still wipe them when you're in the shower, don't you?
I feel like I scrub them when I'm in the shower. A wipe, well, I don't think the wipe would do any good.
Well, let's stick to Dynamite because we're not trying to do a marathon show. So,
hey, you know what? Fuck both of y'all, all right? All right, fuck both of y'all.
So, Matt, you didn't see this, so we're going to pass your opinions. Kate, what did you think? What did you think about the opener and the post-match antics?
Okay, match I really liked. I think the kill switch is an underrated finisher. It's really cool. And I don't know if Sydal is really small or Christian is bigger than I thought he was, but there was like, it looked like a good size difference between the two, and I actually thought that made Christian look really good and like dominant in this. I don't know. Does everybody have to come out all of the time always? Like, first of all, Sydal was great, but I was like, if you're gonna have a situation where Paige comes in and saves him, like maybe it should have been like 10 who was in the match against him or something. Like, I just feel like all Team Taz does is come out and like beat people up after matches. So I'm just like a little burnt out on the like everybody's beating up everybody thing, and then to have that at the first match of the show was a lot. Maybe the reason that it wasn't a Dark Order coming out situation was like maybe Adam Page will find out that he needs the Dark Order in this way, but there's some things later in the show that make me question what's going on with that relationship. So the match I thought was good. I just feel like Sydal is not aligned with anybody. Like it just felt like so much stuff. Glad to see Ricky Starks on the program. I don't know if it was meant to be like a decoy that he said he was front and center because of the way that the rest of Team Taz was attacking Christian Cage from the back, but like it's also weird to say that you're front and center when we all know you have a fractured neck. Like, you can't compete. So I don't know if that was supposed to be like a fake out moment that didn't like super land with me, or if it was just not a great promo. Nothing on him, like nothing on the way he delivered it, but I'm like, but you can't be front and center right now because you have a fractured neck and you're a heel.
Yes, Matthew.
Steve Austin was front and center when he had a fractured neck. And if it's done right, Ricky Starks can do... I'm not saying Ricky Starks is the next Steve Austin, but if it's done right, where Ricky Starks is, he can talk, so he can be a mouthpiece, he can be front and center.
All for him still being on my screen. I love Ricky Starks, but it's just weird to tell your opponent you're front and center when you can't fight.
Yeah, I think maybe you just might have, like, I think what he was saying, Kate, I don't want to say you missed the point, but I think maybe you kind of did, because I think what Ricky Starks was saying was basically like, he's not going to not be in front of the camera. Like, he's going to be seen and heard even though he can't compete. You know what I mean? Like,
okay, I like that better.
That's how I took it. Like, almost like Britt Baker. Like, Britt Baker couldn't wrestle, but she was on the screen. So I think it's kind of the same thing. Forgot to even bring it up with during a little tip of the schlong. Ricky Starks was also on commentary for Some of Dark. So they're not keeping him out of, you know, out of sight. So that's what that's how I took it, was that he'll be seen and heard even though he's injured. Like, he won't be wrestling.
Right. So
I like that, but then tell me at home that, not Christian Cage that. That's why I think I misinterpreted it, was he was like talking to Christian Cage, and I'm like, but you can't fight him.
Right. So it's the complete opposite of Marco Stunt. Nobody wants to see him, so that's why he's never on TV.
Right. So I think the other thing...
Unnecessary.
The other thing, Kate, I think is that... I think, you know, like Team Taz, they're a bunch of heels, right? They're going to always gang jump somebody. It's never going to be a one-on-one situation. So I get what you're saying. It's getting repetitive, but that's why they're always jumping people as a group, because they have a numbers advantage in their heels, you know?
I get it, but I'm just like, this was Seidel. Like, you're not even aligned with him. Like, it just felt like, you have a match coming up. Like, we know.
It had to me, it had nothing to do with Seidel. Seidel was just a collateral damage. The whole issue is with Cage, Christian. Sorry. So like when Hook came and basically suplexed Seidel, they took him right out of the ring. He had nothing to do with it.
Hook is throwing suplexes, man. Brother.
Yeah, bro. He fucking suplexed the shit out of Seidel. You missed it. It was glorious. Hook's a worker.
If you had led with, hey, Matt, you got to see this match, Hook through a suplex, I would watch the whole I watched the whole goddamn fucking Grease 2 because my father said Abbott and Costello were in it, okay? I'm an idiot. I would watch this whole match and been like, this motherfucker Hook didn't even show up. And then he shows up and he throws a suplex. I would have been over the moon.
Well, watch it, because it's glorious.
Now, I don't have to watch the match. I can just watch the post-match suplex, brother.
True. And let me just clarify part of the post-match, because I was corrected and I don't want people to be like, you made a mistake last week. Also, Kate, you have to make a retraction. That just reminded me.
I know. So embarrassing.
Christian gets beat down by Powerhouse Hobbs and Brian Cage. Then Hangman comes out to make the save, and Hangman is the one who gets powerbombed by Brian Cage. So we're building to their match next Sunday. So I just want to clarify that. Either way, fun opener. Another opening match, a lot of fun by AEW. And we get now into the Varsity Blondes backstage interview. Pillman says that his father is the reason why he stayed away from wrestling, but he joined, you know, he decided to start wrestling once he met the Young Bucks. He had gained hope that he could be in the business right away. And Griff Garrison also talks about how he was stoked that he was, you know.
Fuck is Griff Garrison.
Thank you. Griff Garrison was so excited he was allowed to man the merch the Bucks merch table years and years ago, but they've changed since they've gone to AEW, and they need a reality check in the form of the Varsity Blondes winning those tag team titles, and we basically go to break after that. So it was a build to the match tonight. I thought it was a pretty good job. We haven't really heard too much talking out of either Griff Garrison or Pillman Jr., so I thought it was a pretty good segment. Kate, what did you think?
I loved it. I loved Pillman just basically saying that, like, I think there's the misconception of, like, it's the family business, so of course he did. But, like, I loved him clarifying and right up front, like, he's not the reason I joined this business. He's the reason I stayed away, and acknowledging, like, basically, it's some hardcore wrestling fans here who probably watched Dark Side of the Ring, right? So, and saying that's all he had access to when he was a kid was the Dark Side of the Ring. So I really liked this promo. I thought Pillman was great on the mic, especially, like, we, like you said, we haven't heard a ton out of them. And I thought that maybe this lady was going to be like their talker, this Julia, but they don't need her to be. I thought this was great, and it made me invested in what was coming later, which is the point.
Did you see this, Matt, or no? You were still washing your balls. No, washing your balls.
I think at this point I was just talking to Nelly.
Oh, very nice.
While I was getting dressed.
Well, go back and check it out. It's a pretty good build interview to this match. And when we go to commercial, when we get back, we have John Moxley and Eddie Kingston cutting a promo on the Acclaimed, and they basically talk about the beating that they're going to basically give these guys, and then the Acclaimed throw out some sort of counter promo. So, you know, they do these two pre-match promos from earlier in the day, and then we get straight into the match. Eddie and John Moxley versus the Acclaimed. Yes, Matt?
Can I just... I know Kate loves Eddie Kingston, and I think him and John Moxley are fantastic. This fucking dumb fucking 30-second promo about what is a super kick party? Do we need to throw super kicks to be invited? Stop with the fucking comedy. Stop.
No, there were things about this that I loved that I will just point out after.
Stop.
No, there was very good babyface and heel work in this. I'm going to let Ant finish.
No.
I'm just talking about the promo, not the match. The promo beforehand.
I thought about the promo too.
Let me stop. I was going to stop there and ask about this. So, Kate, feel free. Go ahead. I know you were trying. You want me to stop so you have a few minutes to gather your thoughts, but I'm putting you on the spot. What was good?
I had even tweeted about this from the Mark Order Twitter account, because there were things that I really liked about it. One, I loved Moxley, talk about the rankings that we didn't get, but clearly we're supposed to be more invested in them. So he said that Tony Khan is an analytics guy, which I loved because it's sports-based. I loved that he said we might show up on Dark or Elevation. You never know where we're going to show up, plugging the other shows. And I love I didn't need the super kick stuff, though I did laugh at it, but I loved Eddie Kingston calling him a rapper and the rapper's friend. I loved that for this reason. The exact complaint I had with Jericho about him being goofy and the Pinnacle actually being cool, and you want to root for the cool guys and not the goofy ass guys, I felt like happened right here, because then when the return shot came, you were kind of like, yeah, he is kind of just a rapper and the rapper's friends, until we got to the in-ring action where they, like, appropriately returned it and did the heel thing. So I actually thought this was a very quick, very efficient way to be a babyface that makes the other guys who are cool feel less cool, and he did it really quickly. And then I liked how it got reversed into the match with Max Caster's rap, which was fantastic. So the thing that bugged me about the Jericho and Pinnacle stuff, I felt like this was not that in a very quick and efficient way. So I loved it.
Great. You love Eddie Kingston. We get it. It's not fucking high school. I don't give a shit if he's cool. You're supposed to be this fucking badass, spinning backfist fucking fighter from the Bronx or wherever fucking borough you're from. And John Moxley's supposed to be this unhinged maniac. And here you two are fucking yucking it up like it's Chuckles on a fucking Friday night. Get out there and beat some ass. I don't for your fucking dumb back and forth. Hey, you know. They did it on Dark, too, where they were fucking beating each other up or they were arguing with each other. Stop. Just fucking... I hate this tag team. Get out of here with this shit.
We're not supposed to have fun. I'm sorry. How dare I?
You have whatever you want. You like whatever you want. You want fucking CM Punk to wrestle, be on every fucking 3 hours of CM Punk. You want him on Dark, Elevation, Dynamite, Explosion, Rampage.
Now I do. I want CM Punk just on Dark, Elevation.
You want him everywhere.
Huge return just on Dark, Elevation.
Take her to the zoo, Rock.
Oh my god.
That's fantastic, Matt. Oh, man.
TFY, it was good baby face work. They're silly, but they still undressed their fucking heel opponents and made them feel less cool.
They don't That's need an important to be thing silly. To be able to
do. It's baby face.
They're already over. They don't need to be. They're over because they're badasses. You don't need to be silly.
There was no, like, history with them and the Acclaimed, though. And this made me invested, like it should have.
Well, there is a loose history. It's the Acclaimed basically saying, we are a tag team who, you know, deserve to be ranked and are a real team. And they're basically saying Moxley and Eddie aren't a real team, who don't deserve a ranking and don't deserve a shot at the champs. So it's a loose kind of, you know, issue that they have with them, but that's the issue they were trying to settle.
Fair, but they're undefeated, so
very true.
I liked it.
So they should be atop the rankings heap then, according to Kate's logic. They're undefeated.
And they are atop the heap, we found out at the end of the show, brother.
That's right. So, well, we don't have official rankings yet, but we will hopefully by next week. Well,
maybe we can get Bubba the Love Sponge to give us the rankings.
Well, Kate's trying to recruit anybody to do a rap beside herself, so maybe it's possible we can reach out to
There's
Bubba.
There's the line. You found the line. I don't want Bubba the Love Sponge on this podcast fucking ever.
I think the only person that could do a rap justice is Max Caster.
I know.
He called Kevin Probably. Bennett and Kevin Blackwood twinks on fucking Dark Elevation.
Yes, he did. Yes, and he did. It was fantastic.
He made an oral reference, you know, oral sessions. He did the whole...
Yes.
I loved it. You know, and then Bowen goes, what? We just want to be on the podcast. Loved all of it. Like a so good.
He made a blowy joke.
About a pregnant woman.
Right. Well, of course, you don't want to stick your penis in a pregnant woman. What if you mash the baby's head?
And then she tweeted about it, saying that, like, maybe if you ever get yourself Twitter verified or something, it was awesome. I love her. She is a national treasure.
You think Renee's given a lot of blowies, though?
You'd have to ask her.
You think those hormones are running? Are those hormones running wild, brother?
Well, we know Mox likes his morning sex and his room temperature water, so I don't know.
That's true.
her hot, pregnant morning breath on his face.
All right. Jeez. Let's talk about the match.
He rubs his 5 o'clock shadow against her bare bosom.
Are you writing, like, weird fan fiction? What is happening?
He is definitely writing some fan fiction.
Instead of the rankings rap, we'll get fucking Matt Bowman fanfic.
Yeah, Matt's over there now just like, and he slid his unhinged penis.
Wait, what is an unhinged penis?
You called him unhinged before.
He is unhinged, yes.
Is he unhinged? He's not on the fringe anymore.
No.
Anyway, let's get into the match.
It was like a very hard light tube in a death match, but he wasn't breaking it over her head. No, he's breaking it off in her.
All right, this is just, you've taken a terrible turn here.
As the windows were open, the crickets on a warm summer night, you could hear them chirp, 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 chirp.
I hope you have a proofreader and editor for your fan fiction, because it's...
It's all my brain.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. It's in a spank bank.
See, organic on the fly. This is not something.
Oh, good. Yeah, and then you can abandon it in a week.
No, there will not be another session of this next week.
Thank God.
There is no God.
Nobody wants this. Nobody.
Moving on into this match.
You, somebody wants this, Kate. You need to spend more time just scrolling through Twitter and not responding to people.
No, actually, asked me if I do feet pics and then if I had an OnlyFans today on Twitter. That's a shoot, brother.
Was it JR?
No, it was not JR. It was some random ass dude. And I was like, you can't afford me on the feet pics, thinking it was like a funny joke. And then he was like, I wish you had an OnlyFans. And I was like,
Kate,
you're crazy. Sorry, Kate,
you
just take some fucking feet pictures.
Just feet pictures.
No!
Kate, here's what you do. Crazy. You start an OnlyFans. And then you just have your pictures of your feet on stuff, a pillow, in the bathtub, caressing hot dogs, whatever you have to do just to get that. Kate, just to get that Skrilla, Kate.
I would consider doing it, but like instead of just feet pics, it's just like funny socks. That would be awesome.
See, here's the thing, Kate. People don't want to see your feet in socks. They want to see your feet. If they just look, it sounds creepy. They just want to. They don't.
That's it.
See,
no, that's it. Sounds creepy.
No,
that's
but they just want to see your feet. James. Kate, you could make money doing this. Just your feet.
Here you go.
You do it.
People don't want to see our feet. I got a walnut toe. It's not good.
Put it in your fan fiction, you weirdo. All
right.
Yeah, I slid my walnut toe up her outer thigh.
Why am I? No, John Moxley slid his walnut toe up her outer thigh. Not me. Speaking of John Moxley,
John Moxley had a match with Eddie Kingston against the Acclaimed. And as Matt and Kate were talking about it, the Acclaimed came out and did their battle rap. Oh, we should make mention. Hold on. Should make mention. Second week in a row, Moxley is coming out to the Wild Thing.
But the Major League version.
Yeah, the Joan Jett version.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Can we just back up? Kate is missing on. Look, last I'm going to save this, Anthony. Kate, financially, this is a nice side piece, side business, financial gain that does no harm or foul to you if you just send pictures of your feet to people for money. Then you could buy whatever. Like, if people paid me for feet pictures, I'd have every wrestling action figure I ever wanted. Okay, hey. Whatever you're doing, you want to go to wrestling merch, you want to buy some old school wrestling t-shirts, you could do that just on the merits of your feet.
I would rather be able to sleep at night knowing people don't know what my feet look like and aren't some jack wagon jacking off to them.
But they don't need to see your face.
Than like a cool Bret Hart shirt.
But it's not even your face. It's just your feet. Like a picture of my feet in the sand at the beach. A picture of my feet in the grass outside.
Yeah, knowing there's some dude like, no thank you.
Yeah, but someone could be watching this right now and going, and that doesn't make you turn your video off.
Yeah, who's in the Facebook right now who could be jacking it to Kate?
Who's on the show?
Guys are the worst. Oh my God, you're disgusting. Jesus, just giving more fuel to LaGreca, first of all. Second of all.
He's got his own issues. I'm just trying. Look, if it's extra income, I mean, why not? Take advantage of it during the pandemic.
Because it's disgusting.
It's not disgusting. It's just feet.
It's pretty gross.
Maybe
it's just feet. Sure. By the way, I'm sure the guy who asked for that would definitely stop there and be super respectful.
So,
of
Shotzi Blackheart was sending people pictures of the shit she took on the Super Bowl.
That's hilarious.
She made some money. It's a piece of shit, though, but people were into it. So it's just your feet. It's not gross.
It's pretty gross.
Kate, I'm sorry.
Moving
I'm
on.
Trying to help.
Moving on.
Let's talk about this match, the tag match, Moxley and Kingston, the comedy duo. They'll be at Chuckles this weekend. They wrestled the Acclaim.
Why do you hate fun? Jesus.
Oh, I just threw up my mouth. I don't hate fun.
Yes, you do. You hate Marco Stunt. Marco's fun.
Marco Stunt is not fun.
Marco Stunt is very fun.
No, Marco Stunt is not fun. Marco Stunt is somebody I would punch about the face if I had the opportunity. That would be fun for me.
We just got a text from Ryan who said, how is it more sexual post-Schlong? Like, how did it get worse?
You got a text. I didn't get a text. Ryan Schlong doesn't want to text me.
He doesn't even have my number.
Yeah, I wonder why. Fucking probably asking for weird pictures of his feet, weirdo.
I don't want any pictures of anyone's feet.
Some
I don't have
Schlong fan fiction weirdo fucking gross.
I don't have a problem with feet, but feet are not my thing. I like Asian chicks. That's why I married one, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Josh Alexander's wife, she's hot. She's Asian. I like it.
Hot Asian wife.
Mia Yim, hot. Like it. Asian. Filipino, whatever. I don't care. Not the round eye, okay? I'm into it.
All right, well.
How about this match, though?
I'm fucking trying here. So we get... Moxley kicks it out to the Wild Thing, and the Acclaimed come out second and do their battle rap. And as Matt had spoken before, there was a line about Moxley's wife sliding up in Max Caster's DMs asking for that oral sessions. And Bowens did get on the mic and say, "We're talking about podcasts." And as he's about to launch into his "Yo, AEW," Moxley blindsides him and lays him out, and now we're into this match.
Yeah, it's almost like having a fun promo doesn't mean you're not also still a badass.
All right, go watch fucking DX from the mid 2000s. All right, you fucking nerd. You want your fun? You want fun? You want silly? Enjoy.
Okay, I will.
All right, good. Enjoy. You and the Spirit Squad. Your fucking Feet fans. You're missing out.
Gross.
On a lot of,
hard pass.
You're missing out on a lot of extra money, Kate. I'm just telling you.
You know what's awesome? We should continue to talk about this some more.
I don't know. This match was whatever.
This match was really good.
We'll cut to the end of this match. We get Anthony Bowens has the heavy necklace tossed to him, and he's balling it around his fist.
The
and then
heavy necklace.
The heavy chain.
Okay, that's better.
Sorry, I thought I said chain necklace.
No.
So he's balling it around his fist. The referee checks it out, but all of a sudden Max Caster comes into the ring behind the referee with the boombox to hit Eddie over the head with it. Moxley catches him, lays out Caster, and we get Eddie Kingston and John Moxley winning by pinfall with the wheelbarrow paradigm shift on Bowens. And that is the end of this match. I thought it was a pretty fun match. Matt, what did you think?
I like the match. It was a good match. Here's why I don't like Moxley and Eddie Kingston. Because they're just two singles guys that they made into a tag team.
So are Omega and Adam Page.
Sure.
And they put on one of the best tag matches, like, ever.
Sure. The story was phenomenal there. We're not going to get Eddie Kingston trying to turn on John Moxley. We're not going to go back to this, right? Like, what's the end game here? Are these guys going to be a tag team forever?
No, I think Mox is going to go be a dad, right? So it'll just naturally probably fall out while he's on paternity leave for a minute. I think that's probably why it's timed this way, would be my guess.
I don't like when they throw, like, for every Adam Page and Kenny Omega or, I don't know, Kofi Kingston, Matt Bourne, right? Evan Bourne.
it's his brother, Matt Bourne.
Or Cesaro and Sheamus, there's like tons of other where it's just like Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky.
You know, the funny thing about that, and I know that we're not talking about them necessarily, but I was thinking about it before. Do you think, because it was on Dark, do you think that Ethan Page is like, I fucking left Impact where I was part of a tag team to do something on my own, and now they're putting me in another fucking tag team?
No, because I think Ethan Page knows that the ceiling in AEW is much higher, because as we talked about earlier in the show, Impact has backed themselves into a corner where their world champion isn't really part of the roster, and the other promotion that they're supposed to be working with never mentions the company. And I think that, you know, I can't speak for Kate or you, Anthony, but the excitement of when we found out Kenny Omega was leaving and going to Impact in December has now kind of just kind of flatlined. And it's like, Impact isn't really must-see for that.
Yeah, it's kind of like having your championship held by a part-timer for like over a year.
They also fucked him on that Karate Man thing, because according to him, that was not what was recorded or what was shot. And the way they played it during that pay-per-view made it look ridiculous, like stupid.
I was going to say, I think I felt like the North, at least for me, kind of made him. Like, I thought the North tag team was awesome. And I felt like that was when I really started to like Ethan Page. He felt like a good worker, but pretty generic to me beforehand. Anything that I had seen that I really liked of him was him being on the indies and not on my television until then. So I would think, and again, they're an alliance, not a tag team. So we'll see what happens. But I get Matt's point. I don't like it when they just like throw two guys together either that often. I feel like this works because Kingston and Mox have like kind of alluded to their really long history on AEW before, so it makes sense that they would ride together. And as far as this match goes, I thought it was really fun. I don't normally like weapons just getting randomly tossed in there, but I also like that Mox and Kingston came out on top because they're wise veterans who aren't going to fall for those tricks. So I thought the match was really strong. I like things like Moxley just knocking the microphone out of Bowen's hands and stuff. Like, I love that kind of stuff. And it just kind of makes sense, right? Like, it seems like there's some clarity in this picture now that it's going to be Mox and Kingston. And we find out later tonight, of course. But, like, it made sense that they're just going to chew through some of these tag teams so that they can stay undefeated until the picture, because that, to me, that kind of justifies them being thrown together. So I'm normally with Matt, especially when their actual tag division is so loaded to begin with. Like, why are you throwing two guys together instead, especially two people that can put over other talent so well? But I really liked this match. I thought it was a lot of fun. I kind of wish this had opened the show, actually. I think maybe I'm just used to them throwing high energy tag champion or tag matches to open the show. Maybe I'm just like in that groove now, but I thought this was a super fun match.
Kate, are you telling me you did not enjoy when Ethan Page was Chandler Park on Impact Wrestling, the cousin of Joseph Park, aka Abyss?
No. I saw like a little bit of that, but not a lot.
While you were speaking and I was listening and then I was thinking of Chandler Park, that moment was, wow, I really need to not know so much useless shit.
I do remember it just like vaguely. Sorry. Like, I didn't pay attention, but when you said Chandler Park, like, I remember that name and that character very, very briefly.
To be fair, I did like the wheelbarrow into the paradigm shift as a finisher. I don't know. Like, it's this it's almost like, for me, it's like, okay, like, we've disbanded SCU. Phoenix and Pac couldn't beat them for the tag titles. FTR is in line for a title shot, but we're all tied up. Like, who's the tag? Like, is this the tag team that beats them for the tag titles, Moxley and Kingston? I don't know. I'm just kind of indifferent on them. I like them being a tag team if they're going to win tag gold. I think that's very WWE-ish. It's very Shawn Michaels and Steve Austin as the tag champs, or The Rock and Mankind. I don't know. I think these guys are better as single stars. Anthony, what did you think of the match? And then you give us your thoughts.
So first of all, I don't downplay the Rock and Sock connection. Okay. It was a tag team for the ages.
Did you order the Rock and Sock Ringside Collective exclusive figures? No, okay, that's not your forte. My apologies.
No. I'm only collecting one set of figures right now. I do see some of that stuff though, and it does look pretty awesome. I'm not into that stuff. So I did enjoy the match. I thought the match was done well. You know, telling the story with Eddie's knee. Right, you know, they're playing the knee. You know, there actually was some really good tandem offense from Mox and Eddie as well, you know. So I think they're telling a good story, and commentary kind of built it up. You know, the more these guys wrestle together, the better they get, and they become a more credible tag team. So, you know, they're hyping them up and they're telling the right story. I agree, the wheelbarrow paradigm shift is a pretty killer looking move. I did like the fact that they kind of swerved you on the weapon, right? So Bowens gets the chain and you're like, oh no, not again, not the chain. And then all of a sudden, you know, Caster slides in with the boom box while the ref's back is turned. So I kind of like that. But the match went the way it needed to go, right? We knew that, I think we all knew, like, there was Bowens and Caster weren't going to win this match against Moxley and Kingston, but I thought it was a good showing by all. I didn't have a problem with this. So yeah, that's my opinion of the match. We'll see what happens at Double or Nothing. We'll run down the Double or Nothing card in a little bit here, since we have a fully updated card. But after this, we go to a Jericho segment backstage. He's chatting with Dean Malenko, and Marvez rolls up and tries to ask him a couple questions, but Jericho kind of refuses to answer any questions. Tell Marvez to take a hike, and you better not piss off the man of 1,000 holds. And I think Malenko says something like, you forgot a couple. You know,
he said, I forgot a couple. I think Malenko said, is it 1,004 or something to that effect? And Jericho goes, sure. I forgot a couple.
Sure. It was good to see Dean Malenko get a quick hit on TV. You know, for everything he's dealing with, he looks pretty good.
Oh, it's so sad. It's so sad.
It is. But for, you know, he looks pretty good, all things considered, right? I mean, he's not in terrible, terrible shape, which is always good.
Right. Still sad.
Of course.
Makes me sad. Okay.
It's okay to be sad, Matthew.
Am I allowed to be sad? Can I put that in my fucking fan fiction? I'm going to write fan fiction now.
Now you're getting angry, so just stay sad. It's okay.
I don't want to be sad.
Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend.
So after this, we go to Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky being interviewed in the ring with Tony Schiavone. Scorpio Sky talks about how he used to look up to Sting, but something happened and it was time. Sting's not the man he used to be, and he's no longer, Scorpio is no longer a child, but he's a grown man, warning Sting to step aside before he puts him down. And then Page takes over the interview, sends Schiavone running, and says that Scorpio already proved he can put Sting down by heel hooking him. So because of that, he missed a week, and they threw Darby down the stairs. And then the week after that, Darby lost his title. And Ethan Page says he's here to take everything away from Darby Allin. He'll be the nail in his coffin. And then the lights go down, and it's
Sting! Oh, I'm so glad that was organic, because that can be a repeating segment.
Well, he's never going to do that again. Thanks, Kate. So the lights go down. Sting is there. Darby comes in from the back of the ring and hits Ethan Page with his skateboard. Skateboard actually has Ethan written across it. Sting then puts Scorpio Sky in the Scorpion Deathlock. Scorpio Sky taps, and we go to break. So clearly, guys, they're building to something here, and we do find out later there's a match set for Double or Nothing between these two groups. And it's worth calling out that this will be Sting's first match. They said it. I don't have the exact amount of time, but I think they said it was, yeah, that's what I was going to say, Matt. Thank you. This is going to be, we're getting Sting and Darby Allin versus Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky live at Double or Nothing. Sting's first live in-ring match in 6 years. So I think we all knew once Sting did the pre-tape thing, eventually they were going to do something more with him, and this is absolutely it. So first of all, I guess let's throw it to Kate here. Kate, what did you think about this interview segment and all this, these hijinks? And are you excited to see a live in-ring match with Sting at this point in his career?
I thought the segment was fine. I liked what Scorpio Sky said about him being a kid and looking up to him, but he's a man now and it's his turn. Like, that seemed like a very logical way to call him old without calling him old in a way that makes you feel like he shouldn't be wrestling as a fan. Like, it just seemed like the next generation, not like calling out that he's in his 60s or like whatever. So I liked that. I thought the, you guys know I love puns, so of course Ethan Page saying that he's gonna be the nail in Darby's coffin, I was all for. I don't know if I'm excited to see Sting in the ring. I don't know if I will be until we actually see him in the ring. I think Darby being such a maniac is going to make that match great, so he's not going to have to do a ton. So I think AEW has proven to us time and time again that they tend to use people in the right way with this stuff. So I think you're going to see him maybe bump around a little bit and then probably win with the Scorpion Deathlock, and that's it. So I think if it's tempered, that'll be cool. I think the moment of Sting getting in the ring is going to be cool. I think we're going to get an action figure from him after this at some point, which will sell extremely well. But I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to have an answer for you until I actually see him in the ring. That's a little bit tricky. But I do think Darby being insane takes a lot of the pressure off of Sting to do a ton here, because you're never going to be bored when Darby Allin is wrestling.
Yeah, you know, I clearly there's the issue with Ethan Page and Darby, which won't be resolved at this pay-per-view. And I just want to say, sign me up for Ethan Page and Darby all day long. Matt, what'd you think about this?
I really like this. And to your point, Anthony, Ethan Page and Darby, go back and find their stuff from Evolve. It was, it really, like, Ethan Page was a well-known commodity in the world of professional wrestling. When he got to Evolve and he feuded with Darby Allin, he was elevated to the moon as a fucking jerk-off, scumbag, piece-of-shit heel, and he embraced it, and his stuff with Darby is phenomenal. There's one of the things that, it's on one of those Vice wrestling documentaries where they did a spot where they put Darby in a body bag. Ethan Page put him in a body bag and threw him from the ring to the outside. And I think Darby like fractured his forearm or broke his forearm or something. They have great chemistry. And if they, you know, if they pick up where they left off and evolve, like, this has got money written all over it. What is Sting's purpose in AEW? It's to make Darby Allin shine. So I think this tag match sees Darby start, Sting gets in, Sting gets beat down, and when Sting makes that hot tag to Darby Allin and Darby fucking cleans house, like, gold. Sting's just there to be the fucking guy that gets beat up. You might get a Stinger splash out of him, but I think this is all to make Darby look like a bigger star. So I'm all for it. And I like how AEW was very transparent, and they said this will not be a cinematic match. This will be a live Sting match. They are learning from their mistakes. Let's not forget, this company isn't even 2 years old. So, I mean, in a roundabout way, they kind of called themselves out when Tony Schiavone was like, this will not be cinematic. This will be a live Sting match. You will see Sting wrestle live. So I thought that was cool that they put that out there. I liked it. And I liked that the Dark Order came out at the end, because there's still, you know, as I like to say, spoons in the porridge. A lot of stories here. So with Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page, and once we get past Double or Nothing, both are probably going to go their separate ways, you hope. Because as we talk about, they are not a tag team. They are an associates. So we'll see. But I like this, and I'm looking forward to this at Double or Nothing.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me, Matt. I forgot that the Dark Order came out here to make, not to make the save, but to kind of send Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky off, you know, kind of through the side door instead of through the tunnel. So yeah, I'm with you. I think that there's going to be something happening with the Dark Order and them as well after this. Remains to be seen. So we had gone to a commercial, we come back, and now we have a pinnacle segment here where they're having dinner. This is a point of contention, so let's talk about it here. So one of the funniest things I think in this whole segment is they're getting their wine at dinner, and Wardlow takes the bottle and just basically chugs the whole thing and then asks for another one. And Sean Spears also says, I'll take another one as well. And then MJF starts talking about how how funny Jericho is with his, you know, schoolyard humor. And then he hopes the Inner Circle laugh themselves silly, because MJF is going to get the last laugh. Harvard basically complains that they have to waste their time beating the Inner Circle up instead of claiming all the gold in the AEW. And last year's Stadium Stampede was basically a dog and pony show, but this year the Pinnacle's in control. As this is happening, wine refills are going around. MJF gets one. Dax Harwood actually gets one, and Sean Spears is ignored. So Sean Spears grabs the waiter and beats him down on the table, you know, throws him down the table. Everybody asks him to kind of calm down. Tully tosses the guy a wad of money and says that'll take care of it. And then MJF closes things up by saying that when you're in the Pinnacle, you're always on top. And that's kind of how they leave it. Basically, we're not sure yet if the Inner Circle has answered their challenge, but clearly the Pinnacle is annoyed at everything they've got to do with the Inner Circle. So the point of contention here is that Kate absolutely hated this. She said it in the Discord. She didn't hide her feelings. Kate loved the Dinner Debonair segment, though. So this is what I need to find out. Why you hated this so much, Kate?
I mean, first of all, no singing and dancing. That's the biggest issue. No, I'm like, can MJF just like have dinner with his friends? It was all the setting. I didn't have a problem with what was said at all. I thought that was all fine. But like, it just felt very stark for them to like be at dinner, and then all of a sudden MJF is speaking into the camera. Like, I just did not jive with me at all, where it's like a group dinner but they hired a cameraman to come along and like to talk into it. That just felt super weird to me. And also the Wardlow thing cracked me up, but like the Sean Spears thing, I'm like, I think people feel like he's the weakest guy in the group. I actually really like Sean Spears, but I'm like, okay, cool, so he like is such a tough badass against a waiter. Like, he's not like an unhinged guy. Like, that role is already kind of filled. He, like, I don't know, maybe it was symbolic that like he could just beat up someone. I get that, but I just did not like this segment being like at dinner and just starkly speaking into the camera. It just felt very, very like forced to me. But the content of it was okay. It just was like, all felt very out of left field. I'm like, damn, dude, just go to dinner with your friend. Like, I felt like this could have just been like a third party camera and they're all saying that same shit to each other instead of like, Jericho, blah, blah, blah. Like, why couldn't it have been like, can you believe this jack off Jericho with his fucking like schoolyard humor or whatever? Like, turn to each other while you're at dinner. It just, I didn't like it. It felt very put on to me.
I think the idea of the Pinnacle is that they are the four horsemen of the 21st century. So they are class. They will be having dinner, like, just not on Wednesday night. They are at a steakhouse every night. They are drinking Silver Oak. They are spending top quality money. No one was complaining when Four Horsemen promos were shot on a fucking Learjet and they were going from, you know, whatever country and state to whatever town and, you know, sucking Jim Crockett dry and ruining the NWA. I love this. And something that AEW has kind of taught me to do, and maybe I shouldn't be doing, I kind of punched out of the promo because I was just watching everyone at the table to see what they were doing. Because AEW is sneaky good about that. And it's just the littlest things. And I always think back to Macho Man and Hogan when they win at SummerSlam. And Hogan puts his hand on Elizabeth's butt. And how they use that 9 months later as the crux to the feud. I'm always looking for stuff. So on Dark, they mentioned that Sean Spears has not lost since Double or Nothing last year. So yep. I don't want to say they're presenting him like the loose cannon because of all the Brian Pillman stuff and the Dark Side of the Ring. But I think that's the thing, you know, and it's a shame because I'm with Kate. I love Sean Spears. I love the fucking glove gimmick. I don't know why they did away with that. I don't know why people, you know, always paint him with the WWE reject brush because I think he's excellent. But it seems like nothing seeded the chairman. That didn't stick. He got a ton of heat because he fucking walloped Cody and he fucking bled in his dumb bleach blonde hair. And now I don't know where the glove gimmick went, but now he's here like being a fucking maniac. I love this. I can't tell you anything MJF said. Because I was just watching everybody at the table to see what they were doing. But when fucking Sean Spears snaps and Tully just throws the fucking the money at him, I was like, this is awesome. I think when this is all said and done, obviously MJF stands tall. FTR doesn't need the help. And Wardlow is going to be Wardlow. But I think Sean Spears is the most to gain out of this. And I hope it's done right where, you know, do I think Sean Spears will be AEW World Champion? No. But a TNT Championship run? With Tully Blanchard as manager, I'm fucking all in on this. I was a huge fan of this. I can't tell you one thing MJF said, though, because once I saw, like, it's just, I don't know. I don't know if AEW does this on purpose or if it's just me being a fucking wrestling nerd, but I'm watching what everybody is doing because I think there's some weird idiosyncrasy in there that down the line is going to mean something.
No, I love the like ostentatious thing of them just being at like all in their suits and at a steakhouse and stuff. I wish they had been talking amongst themselves. I think that would have played out so much more naturally, but I'm with you with, I think that's just what happens when you have wrestlers that really get to take pride in their storytelling and have control over themselves because they're going to do all of those little things when shit isn't scripted for them. Like, and I'm with you when they were even doing the stuff like all those, the Vegas run that the Inner Circle did. Like I understand what you mean. Cause I'm oftentimes looking at everybody else too. So I'm with you on that for sure. I just didn't like the, like, hey camera part of it. It took me out of it really fast.
Can I lay this on you? How I took Sean Spears was simply kind of the way that he had been painted once he joined the Pinnacle was like that this is a guy who's underrated and doesn't get any respect. That's kind of how I took him tonight, is the fact that he's not even getting the respect from the waiter. He said, I need a refill. The waiter goes to MJF, goes to Harwood, completely ignores him, and he's snapping just because he's not getting the respect he feels he deserves. You know, sort of loose cannon-ish because of that, but that's how I took it, right? Is he's a guy who's not getting respect and he fucking snapped because he just says, you know, he thinks he deserves your attention and your respect.
I don't get no respect.
That's right. Hey. What's the deal with airplane food? Oh, you get no respect. So that's how I took the Spears thing. But I'm with Matt. I love this. I didn't necessarily have a problem with the fact that they were in the restaurant talking to the camera. Kate, I get what you're saying. I'm not saying you're wrong. It just, to me, this is how wrestling promos are, right? Like, it's never just a bunch of people sitting around eating, talking to themselves. They're always talking to a camera. So to me, it didn't necessarily take me out of it. It was just like, oh, they're doing a wrestling promo, you know?
That's right.
But anyway, moving on, we get Hikaru Shida?
Shida, yep.
Nailed okay. It. Versus Rebel with Britt Baker. And basically, like, Shida wins by submission with the stretch muffler on Rebel. And then post-match, Britt Baker lays out Shida because we're building to a title match that there's absolutely nothing behind. I'll tell you this. I didn't care for this match. I don't care for Shida. I just want to get this goddamn belt off her. So that's my thought. Kate, what did you think? You love women's wrestling. What did you think?
I do love women's wrestling, damn it. I actually, I didn't like love it, but this was fine. I feel like we've kind of handcuffed them and saying like Shida's never on TV, but that if we're going to put her on TV, we can't then complain that she's on TV because we're bored by her, right? So you got to, I think, sit on one side of the fence or the other. I didn't like love it, but it made sense, right? Britt isn't taking a loss, so she's super protected, but she's like, I actually think about the amount of times that Shida had no time on television going into championship matches. I'm glad she at least is getting maybe a couple weeks to build a feud with someone. And obviously Britt is doing the heavy work there, but like, we saw our champions on TV. We've been complaining about that the whole time. The match was fine, but like, I like that Britt didn't take a loss going into it, but still got to exact her heelish revenge. Like, match is fine. It was short and sweet. I'm never going to complain that we're getting two women's matches on TV when I've complained so many times that they give them 12 minutes or whatever. But it was fine. I'm just looking forward to a Britt Baker championship run.
You could file this and the next segment under things I don't give a shit about. I feel like AEW does this to us with at least one storyline. MJF and Chris Jericho in the Inner Circle and that breakup. Miro, Kip Sabin, and the best friends. Just this is, I just don't give a shit. I didn't give a shit about this match. I'm with you, Kate. Just put the fucking belt on Britt and let's move on. The fact that they were like, oh, this Sunday she's going to be champ for a year. I almost fucking threw up all over my couch. Because she's been absent for most of that year. And I'd love to say like the pandemic is why, but that's not it. Cause she was here during the pandemic. Then she wanted to be fucking producer lady. Like, look, you can wear as many hats as you want, but you're a fucking women's champion. Like, you should have a say, be on TV. I just don't give a shit about Shida. I'm so annoyed that she's getting a fucking figure.
I'm so glad.
Look, I know you're glad. I get it. I just don't care. I don't care about this. So I'll be happy after Double or Nothing when Britt is the champ and we can move forward.
As will I, but we can't complain that the champ is never around and they get mad when she's on TV.
No, but at this point, it's moot, right? No, like, she's been absent for so long. Like, now that she's on TV, why should I fucking care?
Well, because they're actually building a feud to a pay-per-view, at least. Like, I'm glad that that happened.
Sure, but
like,
Britt
came out, she was super heel. She did her rankings thing a couple weeks ago, and now, like I just feel like even though we don't care about Shida, we have to at least give credit to the fact that they're actually trying to do something, like, after complaining for so long that they were doing nothing.
Yeah, but for me, it's too little. It's too late. Like, the ship has already sailed. Just take the fucking belt off her.
Yeah, they're gonna.
Right,
Tony,
so just,
relax. It's happening.
No, I just don't give it. Like, this was just filler. I don't give a shit. And we'll get to it. My favorite match of the night was Serena Deeb and Red Velvet. That I was interested in. I don't give a shit about Shida.
That's fair.
Get the belt off her. Put it on Britt and let's rock and roll.
We're so close. A couple more weeks, we hope.
And this was a short match. Like, this, it's not like this took up 25 minutes.
Right,
because
they had to, you know, make room for this next dog shit segment with fucking Pockets, because he Great. He's strong enough to rip up paper. Ugh, God, what was this fucking horse shit?
Well, what I think this was, and I'll let Ant steer the ship, but I think they were acknowledging what happened last week, which I know when you were on Monday night, you hadn't yet caught up, but like that triple threat call was entirely inaudible. So I think they're like just trying to acknowledge and like follow up and put some sort of story together here, because that was completely on the fly because they didn't know if he was going to be good to go. So now they're just trying to acknowledge that, I think.
Fair enough.
Wait. I actually want to clarify. I need to clarify something, because I thought that from what I read, unless I completely misunderstood it, was the plan was always to do a triple threat. It was how they got there that was the audible. I thought that this was going to go to the way I understood it, and this is why I'm asking for clarification. I'm not necessarily correcting you, Kate. Maybe I'm wrong. I thought that basically Matt, so last week in the triple threat, obviously something went awry, which is why things look so weird. Orange Cassidy got hurt. He concussion, whatever. From what I read, the plan, my understanding was the plan was they were going to go to a time limit draw and then get to the same outcome. There was no winner. So, you know, I'm off for the night. But because he got hurt and they didn't think he was going to get to the end, they called the audible with Don Callis coming out and then knocking out, you know, Pac from behind. So I think it was always going to get to this point.
Got it.
That's okay. My understanding.
From what I had read, but I didn't read that carefully, was I thought that it was just going to be Orange Cassidy. And because he got his bell rung super hard on that power bomb, they like rushed this finish and were like, we don't know if Orange Cassidy's going to be able to go. Let's just do a double count out. And that's why it felt so rushed that Don Callis got out there. But that would feel that way with either of our stories. So sure. I'm assuming you read more closely than I did. I just figured from what I had read was kind of vague, and they never do triple threats. So I thought that was the audible that got called. But
I hate triple threats. I fucking hate them.
I know you do.
I loathe them. Secondly, my problem with this segment was not the story they were trying to tell. It was as soon as they were done with this promo, the first thing you saw was a graphic for the triple threat match. So I just sat through a promo where Kenny Omega's trying to sway Orange Cassidy out of it. He rips up his first contract, but he doesn't rip up the second one. So there's a cliffhanger there. But as soon as we get away from that promo, the first graphic you show me is Double or Nothing triple threat match.
Well, because right now that's still the match, because Orange Cassidy very well could tomorrow sign that paper and they don't have the match. I think they're setting themselves up in case he can't go.
Okay.
Right.
But let that simmer. Let me think. Oh shit. What if Orange Cassidy decides to sign? Cause that's where you left this off. So don't come out of that and say, well, this is going to be a triple threat match. They weren't like, well, what if he signs it? Is the triple threat match happening? No, they were like, well, right now, this is what's going to happen. This is advertised. This is the match. No, let it simmer. Let me think. Oh, shit. Is he not going to sign this? Does he reach into those pockets and pull out a pen and sign said contract? Does he rip it up again? No. Here's a fucking graphic for the triple threat match. I was like, these motherfuckers.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't necessarily have a problem with that, because that's still the card, right? That's still the match right now on paper.
Yeah,
and there's still time for him to sign it.
Don't go into that card subject to change bullshit. Come on now.
I wasn't going to go there. I'm just saying that's still right now. That's still the match that they have to sell, right? They have to sell that match.
Yeah, but they didn't sell it. Like, what is he going to be in it? They were like, this is the match.
Right, because it is the match.
As of right now, that is the match.
But what's the announcer's job? Is to sell it, right? Sell me on the fact that, is he going to sign the contract? You do not have your regular Wednesday slot next week. So now everybody has to tune in on a Friday night at 10 o'clock, which is not the greatest fucking spot.
No,
so
agreed.
I'm going to skip ahead. When Serena Deeb came out and Jim Ross says, I think she had arthroscopic knee surgery. You think? Are you fucking serious?
Yeah. No, that pissed
That's
me off, too. I heard that
super important fact. Your job is to sell. So, like, sell
me. You should know that.
Sell me, like, this is the scheduled triple threat match. But after we just saw, does Orange Cassidy sign the contract? When will we know? No, you're like, this is the match. Here's Excalibur. He wears a fucking lucha mask all night.
It's true. He it's does.
Sell, like, your job is to sell me on this. Fucking sell me on this. It fucking annoyed me. It pissed me off. Now I'm pissed. I hope you're happy, Anthony.
You're always angry.
I'm always angry. Don't fucking... I control the narrative like EC3. I control the narrative.
Okay, EC, you calm down. I didn't have a problem with this. I honestly didn't. I didn't read into it the same way you did. I just... The card is the card right now, and it looks like he's not going to opt out. You know, obviously, I think this is part storyline and part, you know, giving themselves part real life, right? Because they need a way out in case he's not cleared to wrestle. I think it's a concussion, right? That's what he's dealing with. So
it's got to be. I mean, he got his bell rung.
He's too cool for concussions. Come on.
I mean, he definitely is that. It would be hard to tell because he's got sunglasses on, so you can't, like, check his eyes.
He puts his fucking hands in his pocket. He doesn't care.
He's still cool, baby.
I will say, I do love Orange Cassidy, but, like, I think he's got to talk every once in a while. Like, I could have used him just, like, fucking backhanding Don Callis or something here. Like, I liked the story that they were telling. It's very heelish and very the type of heel that Omega is. But I just wish, or if he just, like, used his apathy to get up and walk away, I would have liked that. But I mean, that did make me laugh a little bit because he was going so slow with it. But, like, in the same way that the debate was, like, such a fun surprise because he talked for the first time and because of what he said. And then when he, like, delivered a real promo on Jericho, like, I could have used just a moment of impact here because it, I don't know. It's just like those moments are so rare that you got to throw them in every once in a while so that they pop out at some point.
Well, another polarizing segment here in Dynamite. They go to break after this. So, you know, Matt gave the kind of breakdown of what happened. And now when we come back, we have the Inner Circle getting into the ring and they're giving their response to whether they're going to take this match on or not. To shorten things up, basically, guys, they said yes. They're all, super psyched to get into this match. You know, they're really focused and charged to settle things with the Pinnacle. They accept the challenge on May 30th. Hell is coming for the Pinnacle, and the Inner Circle is going to dance all over their face and piss all over their graves, says Jericho. They flip the birds to the camera. Ortiz throws up two to represent Santana. And then we go into another segment, which we'll get to momentarily. So I know I cut everything basically out of that, guys, but we're trying to move ahead. Matt, what did you think of this segment? Now, response to the Pinnacle's earlier segment.
It was fine. I have a very unpopular opinion. I think I like Jake Hager.
It's not unpopular.
And I liked his promo. I liked when he spoke. It's kind of like he never speaks. So when he spoke, I thought it meant something.
He's going to make you my bitch.
Look, Dusty Rhodes has a lisp, okay? And he cut some of the greatest promos. I'm not comparing him to... I was like, you know what? I fucking like Jake Hager. He was on the screen.
No, he wasn't bad. Promo,
but it was fine. You know, it was what it was. They're going to fight at the Spring Stampede. Stadium Stampede.
Thanks.
I don't know. Because there's this, and then there's that fucking weird picture-in-picture with Sammy Guevara and the fucking cards. I'm like, did I have a stroke? Did I miss something? It was so weird.
Well, they're bringing that back because, there was nothing going on at that time, and I guess they had a picture-in-picture segment, so they just throw that on there. I don't know. But so you like Jake Hager. That's your quote-unquote unpopular opinion, and you did or did not have a problem with this whole segment overall?
I
didn't
have a problem with it. It was fine. Yeah. It was, you know. Okay. It's the Inner Circle. Sammy Guevara is going to Shane McMahon the world. He's going to jump off everything that's high.
Well, I think if anybody could do it, it's Sammy. Kate, what'd you think?
Yeah, I thought this was one of the better Inner Circle jerks that we've gotten. It was shorter. And one thing that Jericho's great at is when there's criticism in the wrestling world, he listens to it a lot. So this was like shorter. It was a little bit less goofy. It was like less silly than the champagne Steve Austin truck, which I feel like didn't hit with a lot of people. But I appreciate about that about him. He really adjusts as stories unfold. But yeah, this was fine. I thought the fact that it was shorter definitely helped it. Everybody said their piece. They agreed to it and they got out of it. I don't love Jake the Donkey Kong Hager. He's boring to me. And also, they said bitch so many times in this episode. Everybody's a little bitch. It happened like three times.
Don't be a little bitch, Kate.
Little bitch. Little bitch.
Well, listen up, bitches. Shut the fuck
you
up.
You need to shut the fuck up.
We're talking about Jade Cargill. Thank you. We get a backstage segment with Jade Cargill getting interviewed earlier in the day. And Smart Mark Sterling actually rolls in and tells her he doesn't want her to work for him. He wants to work for her. And he's selling her on taking her brand to the top. 2 weeks in a row, she's with Shivani. You know, when's her sit down with Jim Ross? But then she tells Smart Mark not to interrupt and she will think about it. So, guys, we can resume discussions now. Anything you want to call out here about Jade? I think they're just still playing the storyline that she's a beast and people want a piece of her. It looks like they're really sticking on the Smart Mark Sterling wagon, and I kind of hope they don't go that route.
This is This goes two ways. This is all I think about when I see this stuff with Jade Cargill. When Macho Man was looking for a manager and he was being courted by all the heels and he chose Miss Elizabeth, who wasn't even there. Or when Bam Bam Bigelow was doing the same thing and he chose fucking Oliver Humperdinck to be his fucking manager. I don't think Jade needs a manager. I really don't understand what they're doing here with her. I'm hoping this is just filler until Britt gets the title and then Jade realizes, like, I ain't shit without this gold, bitch.
Heel versus heel for the gold?
I mean, look, and we can get into it the next segment, because when Serena Deeb got hurt and she went away, she was a face. And she came out into this match against Red Velvet heel as fuck, son.
Well, Kate, we're going to get there in a second. Kate, sorry. What did you think about the Jade segment?
I don't like this at all. The only eligible manager figure that I can think of that's a free agent right now is Selena De La Renta. So maybe if it goes there, that's kind of cool. But I just think this is stupid. Like, why? It just seems pointless. I think you could very easily turn her face against Britt. I'll say that. Like, it's a clash of the egos, and she could just. It doesn't take much to flip that switch from going and being a heel who's that bitch to being a face who's that bitch. Like, that's a very easy turn. So maybe that's in store, but this is stupid to me. I don't get it.
Yeah, I kind of don't know where they're going.
It's her fault, because she would never do anything wrong, but the direction of it. Yeah, no, she's perfect.
Don't goddamn speak ill of Jade.
No, not her. She's that bitch.
That's right. So now let's talk about Red Velvet Serena Deeb here. So Matt is correct. Serena Deeb comes out heel as shit, throwing a towel or her jacket or something in Red Velvet's face and then jumping on her. Let's cut through the match. Let's just get to the end and then let's talk about it here. Serena Deeb does wind up winning by submission with the Serenity Lock to retain the NWA Women's title. Or Women's World Championship. She is, working over Red Velvet's knee towards the end of this match. Very heelish. Driving her knee into the mat and then locking in the Serenity Lock. So Matt, expand on this, pal. I'm with you. She is coming out of heel, and the only thing I could think is that they're going to set up for NWA the babyface Thunder Rosa versus a heel Serena Deeb.
Well, my friend, in the NWA world, Camille has thrown down the challenge to Thunder Rosa that if she beats her, Thunder Rosa cannot leave the NWA and go elsewhere and wrestle. So, and I don't think Camille's ready for an NWA Women's World title run. We haven't seen Serena Deeb on NWA Power yet, but I fucking love this match. I know Velvet is green as shit, but this was great. And I think Velvet has shined. And I think this is something, you know, 6 months ago, would we be talking about a woman's match, let alone a match of this caliber? Probably not. You know, we said, are they going to sign wrestler A, B, C, D, whatever? And everyone kind of flew under the radar, and they went to Impact, and they went to NXT, and they went to Ring of Honor. Red Velvet's a fucking score. She looked great here. She looked good in the tag match with Jade Cargill. But yeah, Serena came out looking mean as fuck. I really like this match. And I'm kind of interested to see where it goes, because Serena Deeb is signed to AEW, and she is still the NWA World's Women's Champion. So where this plays out, like, is she now a heel? Goddamn, a heel. it'll be interesting. But I really, really like this match. I know Velvet's still pretty green, but this was really good. And I love how Red Velvet comes out to the ring with the fucking apron on. Like, yep. I like that. I noticed that, and she stirs it up. You know, she got a little cocky. She was doing a little shit, stirring it up, and, you know, hanging outside the ring. And Serena Deeb took advantage of her with a dragon screw. But I really like this match, and I like this nasty side of Serena Deeb.
So we did, Matt, real quick. Sorry, Kate. We did talk about the stipulation match last week. I thought it was kind of funny that the NWA stipulation is punishment for Thunder Rosa's. Like, if you lose, you can't leave. It just seemed funny to punish her by keeping her there. But no, yeah, I mean, I know that Thunder Rosa's next match is for with Camille, but I think after that, this is going to lead to Thunder Rosa Serena Deeb before we get maybe Thunder Rosa Britt Baker. I don't know. So that's the only reason I brought it up, was the possible heel turn, so that we don't have face versus face in Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb, you know, when we eventually get there. The other thing, I guess. Oh, I thought Matt was playing a sound effect, to be honest.
No, I was not. I would literally just hit P break and then hit enter, and that happened. And I was like, oh, fuck, is the sound on?
That's so funny. No, my cell phone, I had a glass of water that's empty now, but my phone fell onto it and it made like a perfect triangle sound.
Oh my God. So Kate, I know that what I was going to throw to you too, is that I know that you and I, like, obviously, like, there were a couple moments where Velvet didn't look great. I think overall she looked pretty good. I didn't have a problem with this match. I thought there were a few times where I was like, I kind of want them to wrap it up here.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's not, the match overall, what I thought was very good. It's just when things show for Red Velvet of her being green, they're like the greenest. It's like, it's so, so bad. Like, they're rare and they're just like, it almost weird. Like, they're not regular botches you would see. It was just little stuff. Like, Serena was trying to lock her in for a move where she had her like bent over and was trying to lock her arms, and she kept putting her arms back up, and not like in a smart face way, like I'm avoiding this move, like in a way where I think Serena Deeb was like, keep her arms down, I'm trying to execute a move on you. So
right.
And there was a rough power bomb spot in there too. So it's not like she's terrible or this match was bad. It's just when things like that pop out, they're just so obvious and they're so like kind of odd. But overall the match was great. I cannot believe how much, like, there was just not an ounce of ring rust on Serena Deeb. Like,
yeah,
she was so good. And even little things, like toward the end of the match when she kicked out of something, she like kicked out of it kind of weakly because towards the end of the match she's tired. Like, she just makes you believe, and it was just, I was really, really impressed that this was her first match back. She was working heel for the first time in a really long time, and she looked that good, and also made Red Velvet, I think, look great in the process. So I'm all in on Serena Deeb. I think she's an awesome pickup for them, and I think she's a big reason to why we've seen this women's division turn around, because she's also been putting together matches with them. There's tons of pictures of her like helping put women's matches together as well, on like the training side and the production side. So in the same way that Sarah Del Rey was doing that for the women in NXT, I think maybe to, you know, maybe not as big of an extreme, but in a similar way, Serena Deeb has helped do that here. And she of course also came from NXT, so she knows how to put together compelling women's programming in a variety of ways. So I'm very glad to see it.
Yeah, like I said, I think the match was good. I'm with you, though. Like, Red Velvet shows green when it comes through, right? Like, when something goes wrong, it goes wrong, and it shows your inexperience. But she is definitely, I think, of the young talent they've just, you know, they've gotten their hands on or they've cultivated, she's probably the strongest so far out of the bunch.
I vote legit Layla.
Well, but legit Layla is not prime time ready yet, though.
True. You know what I mean? But like, we've seen Tay come along too. Like, the fact that these are my complaints compared to 6 months ago is like night and day. So like, I will take it. You know what I mean? But I'm with you. I think she's definitely has a lot of skill in her.
So moving on from this, we get a Pac promo. He's sick and tired of getting robbed of opportunities, but he has his match. There's nothing Kenny or the Bucks or any of the elitist pricks can do about it. And at Double or Nothing, what fool would bet against the Bastard? Nobody. Yes, Matthew.
I will vote against the Bastard.
Oh.
You think he's walking out the fucking world champ?
No, I don't.
You think they just go? They just go to him and they like, hey Pac, just cut a promo, because every Pac promo is the same. He's angry. I'm not complaining. He's just always fucking miserable.
So are you, man?
Yeah, well, there you go.
Fuck, week after week on the show.
What? Done.
She's muted. All right. She's out. So I'm gonna pass the Pac promo since nobody has a comment.
There's nothing to comment. He's fucking mad. He's always mad, and he's British, and he doesn't know how to brush his teeth.
I didn't hear that in the promo. I don't think he was like, "And I brush my teeth better than you."
I don't brush my teeth. I'm mad, and my hair is always wet. I don't know how to dry it.
No heel does. No heel with long hair has dry hair. I thought this was fine. It does feel like this triple threat overall is thrown together a little bit, but this was solid. Like, I like a guy who bets on himself that hard and doesn't think you should bet against him.
Kate, Mrs. Money says that Pac is an unfortunate specimen because his body's so hot and his face is not. Do you agree or disagree?
It's in like his nose area makes it. It's tough. I can understand where she's coming from. I would agree.
I don't know. I think it's his face and maybe his ears, his head in general.
It's a little, and I'm not here to body shame, but since you asked the question, it's like a little like Nomi. Like, he looks a little like Nomi or gargoyle-y or something. It's like in here.
She has the same issue with EC3. She says he's unfortunate as well. His body's so hot, but his face just ain't there.
About his face. That happens.
Yeah.
Can you get past that, though?
I don't know. I'd have to follow up.
No, yeah, check in with her. I have to, like, meet people before I would make an assessment like that. Personality is, like, a thing.
Look, he's not asking for feet pictures, okay? He's not asking you to do any weird shit. He's not, like, a weird wrestling fan. He's just a dude with a hot body. He's got that sexy, I guess, if you find a sexy British accent.
Okay, but like, I am a heightist, so this is where it becomes tricky.
All right, but what if
I'm 5'8"? Like, you gotta break that 6 foot barrier, man.
If you touched his stomachs and you just felt muscle, like coming through his t-shirt, are you like in? Are you like, you know what? I could always put a bag over his head, or you know.
He's not that ugly.
Okay, I don't know what, you know, women's standards are. Guys will stick their dick in anything, so. You know, I don't know where the line is for women.
I don't know. Maybe I just want weird feet pictures from him. I don't know.
I bet you he'd be into it. You want to know why? He's a wrestler, and he's got to make some money. So
it's true.
He's just going to sit selling gimmicks.
That's it. Sell your gimmicks. Moving on from this, we have Anthony Ogogo versus Austin Gunn. Matt's favorite of all the guns, Austin Gunn. Yes, Matt?
I'm going to let you explain, because I have another weird thing I'm going to say tonight, and I don't want people to be taken aback. So go ahead, say what you're going to say, and then I'll chime in.
No, please, go ahead.
I think Austin Gunn sells better than 99% of the AEW roster. This was...
And taken aback?
This was so... I think there's something about Anthony Ogogo. He brings like a whole, like this whole nother thing, like this aura, this confidence, this charisma, this, he's not a wrestler. Like, I fucking love him. And the way Austin, like when he punched him the second time and then Anthony Ogogo had blood on his face and everyone's like, why the fuck does this guy have blood on his face? And then you realize it's because Austin Gunn got punched in the tummy tums and went blah, 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 and spit all over his face and he was bleeding. Like, fucking hell of a sell job. And then that weird pop-up punch at the end. I love this. The way he threw the American flag, and props to Cody for, like, go, like, he almost,
catching
like,
it.
Oh, my God. He almost fell out of the fucking ring. Like, he was, I'm sure they, like, talked about the spot, but Cody was all, like, I'm into this. This match that I probably didn't give a shit a couple weeks ago about. Like, I am in, and I am all about Anthony Ogogo.
You know, it's hard to tell if the blood was coming from his tummy tums or the blood capsules he bit down on, but it was effective.
Look, Anthony, everyone is not world famous Gino Caruso, where you smash the blood packet on your head and the plastic is sticking to your head throughout the match. Right?
I will say this. I thought for a minute. So yeah, Anthony Ogogo wins by referee stoppage, by the way, with that pop-up haymaker. You know, we've seen a few guys do that move, you know, like Cesaro's done that move and a couple others. It's effective if you can pull it off. Ogogo definitely can pull it off. I thought with that American flag at the end, I thought Ogogo was going to spit on it. And for a minute, I was like, oh my God, they'd better not have him do that. I think that would have blown up in their face if they did that. And not in a good way. I think it would have been bad. But anyway, Kate, what do you think about this? We talked a little bit before about Ogogo being a heel or a face. I think it's very clear he's a heel.
He's a heel.
Yeah, at this point, he's a heel. Goddamn, motherfucker. Extra punch. Double punch. Double blood capples. Goddamn.
Brandon, here's that voice.
They built this the right way. I know I didn't love Cody's promo last week, not for the reasons that everybody else freaked out about it, by the way. I just didn't, it just wasn't my favorite of his. But I like this. This was really solid. I can't believe Austin Gunn got to Matt. That's amazing.
Look, his sell job was
it was great.
Unbelievable.
It was really strong tonight. I'm excited for this match. I think it's not like my favorite storyline, but I have such an appreciation for how they're executing it. Like, I don't love this necessarily, but I love that they took the Green People and paired them with QT Marshall to get this started. And like, I just love the way that they use talent. Like, they've built a lot of meat on the bone on this in a very short amount of time. So I appreciate that now. Like, I feel like there was a lot of payoff that happened here from last week. So like, even though it's not necessarily my favorite thing that's happening in the company, like I still like the way that they're using the talent and how they're building out people. I think it's very well executed in that regard. So I'm looking forward to it. I think Ogogo is going to go over.
Oh, again with that. Moving on. Anywhere.
Wolf. I'll tell you what. I think Anthony Ogogo is going to be the focal piece of the factory. But Nick Camarado is my fucking breakout star. Whatever they decided to do with him, put him in all white with the dude. Man,
I love him.
I hope they
major Bruiser Brody vibes with him. I love Camarado. He's my favorite in this whole stable. I love Ogogo too, but I am with you 100% on Camarado.
I hope they push him to the fucking moon when he's ready. That's the thing. When he's ready.
He's got to use less bronzer on the chest.
No, extra bronzer, bro.
Well, then he's got to put it on his neck and his face. So moving on from this, we get Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian backstage. Christopher Daniels is asked about his future, and then he shakes Frankie's hand, whispers in his ear, and then he leaves. But Kazarian says that he doesn't have the words to say what Chris has meant to him personally and professionally. He doesn't know the path that Christopher Daniels is on, but he knows where he's going. And Frankie's blaming the whole elite. And he's going to hunt them down one by one to teach them what it feels like to have your heart ripped out. Frankie says He's the bomb you can't defuse and a gun you can't unload, and that is a promise, not a threat. That is the gospel, according to Frankie Kazarian. We go to break. So clearly, this tag team's no more. They're living up to that. Frankie's going to cut out on his own. That's the gospel to Frankie Kazarian. Do we like this Frankie Kazarian gospel according to Frankie Kazarian? I think it, everything he's saying fits his character, right? Some sort of badass. So Matt, what do you think about this?
I like this. I like the promo. He blended reality with the storyline, because if you follow him on Twitter, you know, he lost his father. So I'm sure him talking about getting his heart ripped out was in relation to that, but it plays into the storyline as something, you know, after the fact, if he goes around and he picks off the Elite and then he falls short to Kenny Omega, like, this is a guy you could have in there with Darby. You can have him lose to Darby. You could have him lose to Jungle Boy. You know, him as a solo is a positive for the company. And this is just, you know, bonus. You have Frankie Kazarian. He's now a solo. He could help put over younger talent. So I'm not against it. I like the promo. You know, I hope the story plays out where we get to hear what Christopher Daniels said to him too, because I'd be interested in that. Maybe they have maybe Daniels was like, I want to have my last match with you, and they have some special match. I don't know. We'll see. But I didn't have a problem with this.
I actually really liked this. There were parts of this that felt almost like Roddy Piper-ish to me. I loved it. And I think if you didn't see Being the Elite this week, just go check out the first couple minutes before they even get to the intro and see what Christopher Daniels said, because you're missing that half of the story, and it was fantastic. So I really like this, and I agree with Matt. I think having him as a solo act is going to be great for someone that can fit in that, like, Seidel Cabana role almost, where it's like he's there to put over young talent. It doesn't really hurt if he loses at all. But I actually really liked this more than I was expecting, and I'm with you. I feel like that heart ripped out thing had to do with his dad that pulled at my heartstrings too.
My only concern with the Christopher Daniels thing, I swear to fuck all, if he comes back as Curry Man, I'm going to throw my fucking TV into the middle of the screen, okay? I'm just going to put that out there now. Daniels is going to walk away. I don't want fucking Curry Man, okay?
I don't think we're in danger of that.
Well, it'll be interesting if it happens. Matt will have to break his television.
I'll murder somebody. I'll murder Hawk.
Whoa.
You.
Whoa.
Oh, you're putting that on tape? That's
you're
a threat.
An angry man.
I feel like I said I would murder somebody on the other podcast, too.
You're always starting to murder people, mascots.
Well, you know what, though? Because if I'm going to murder somebody, there has to be an ID special about me. So if there's audio about it, it's a good thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Kate, that means you and me get to get interviewed.
Yeah, you get the rub. You get the rub. You get the Mark Order. Some Mark Order shirts. What the fuck are we doing?
Hey, we have to do that before July. Somebody's got to be wearing a Mark Order podcast shirt.
That is true.
Anyway, don't point at me.
Double finger guns.
Finger guns. Oh, man. So we come back from commercial break here with Miro. Sorry, I cut out there. That was me freezing. We come back from commercial with Miro, and he says, first and foremost, he would like to thank Jesus Christ for protecting him and giving him the strength and power to make him more aggressive than everybody else so he can destroy them. But that's not what Darby Allin does. And after taking all that crap, he beat him up so bad, he took the title, and everybody doesn't know it. Doesn't matter who you are. If you have what Miro wants, then you are done. And then eventually he keeps going, and Lance Archer comes out. So we're clearly lining up our match, Double or Nothing. It was earlier in the day, or earlier in the evening, it was booked that we're going to get Lance Archer and Miro at Double or Nothing. Oh, I forgot. I left the one key thing out. Miro says that on Dynamite Live on Friday night, somebody's going to get a shot to take the title, but he's going to destroy him anyway. So I don't know why we're getting a title shot before the pay-per-view. Matt's giving a thumbs down. We'll get Matt's thoughts here. But Lance Archer comes out. Jake the Snake is trying to hold him back, but he can't do it. And Archer tells Miro to shut up. He's been a beast in AEW going back to the days when Miro was still trying to have a day for himself. But Archer failed to win the TNT title before. He's going to get his shot again at Double or Nothing. We haven't seen a monster fight like this since Godzilla or King Kong, and blah, 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 blah. So Miro threatens Jake the Snake. He's going to hold the title, blah, blah, blah. We're going to break. All right. I'm cutting through a bunch of the bullshit because there were some moments that I didn't write. So my apologies. Matt, you're giving thumbs down to some stuff earlier. I assume it's about that Friday match, but what'd you think?
I love the promo by both guys. I love how Miro's like, I know yoga saved your life, but that's you better. That's not happening, son. This is like the list of things that I never thought I wanted to see that I want to see. Lance Archer, Miro. My thumbs down is AEW has this knack of doing this. It's, oh, he has an open challenge. And then as soon as the segment's over, they have a graphic. They have it announced. Like just let it. And with all, Dante Martin's 21 years old. Top Flight's a great tag team. They're going to do great things in AEW. Like, I just don't give a fuck about this. Miro's going to beat the piss out of this kid next Friday night, put him in the, whatever he calls it, the game over, the accolade.
Game over.
But let it simmer. At least let it, you know, don't be like, open challenge, it's Dante Martin. We just got the word. Like, that's, ugh. Don't even fucking announce it right afterwards. It's not, nobody gives a shit. Just make it a fucking open challenge and let him come out.
My thinking about this is just that maybe they're doing that to say, hey, like, this is what's happening because we're asking you to tune in at 10 o'clock on a Friday. So I thought maybe that was part of it. But you're right. They do telegraph that stuff a lot, and it kind of ruins it for me. My favorite part of an open challenge is, like, the who's it going to be factor. And when they do that right before the match, it's so fun. Like, I think about in WWE when Cena was doing that with the US title and how that like made Kevin Owens and also kind of made Sami Zayn before he threw his arms up in the air and blew out his rotator cuffs. Like, that's such a fun thing when you don't, it feels blind. And so I'm with you. That kind of takes the wind out of the sails of it for me. But I think maybe it's like, hey, this is going to be a great match. Tune in for it on Friday at 10 PM. But I'm couldn't be more excited for this giant Haas match. I liked a lot of the talking here. This is the Miro I wanted to see from the beginning. And I like that it kind of justifies why Lance Archer was out when Darby was out there. Remember, we were getting like all this information where everybody was coming to the ring and we were like, why is Lance Archer out here like eyeing Sting and eyeing Darby? He wasn't eyeing them. He was eyeing the title. And now that's carried over. So that just felt like it kind of justified why he was out there for those weird weeks to me. So I like this. I can't wait for this match.
Yeah. So my thing with it, like, just leave it as an open challenge. Like, Miro, Dante Martin is nobody, with all due respect, nobody's fucking tuning in for that. If you leave it as an open challenge, like, people will use their imaginations will run wild. Look, at the Kate's point, 9 out of 10 times it's gonna be like Dante Martin, you know, but that one time when it's Kevin Owens or it's fucking Alberto Del Rio returns and he wins the US championship, like, people are gonna tune in. When you just say like Dante Martin, like, sorry, I'm busy Friday night now, like, that doesn't really grab me, you know, like, you're looking to get people to tune in. Like, let it just simmer, let it be an open challenge, let people wonder, you know. You don't have to explain yourself. It's Double or Nothing weekend. Dante Martin was the first guy to sign the contract, so he gets the match. Like, plain and simple.
Yeah, I think part of the reason that falls flat too is the fact that it's like nobody believes that he's going to drop this title before Sunday, right? Like, I mean, regardless of whether it's Dante Martin or not, you just don't believe Miro is going to have this belt taken off of him. So they might as well just not have done it. But they're going to make Miro look strong. He's going to beat the piss out of him, and that'll be that.
Sure. Look, I hate to cut you off, Ant. You could have done like, you could have brought in Davey Boy Smith as a one-time shot. Miro versus Davey Boy Smith Jr., because there's history with Lance Archer. He puts Davey Boy Smith Jr. in the game over, and he won't let it go until Lance Archer comes out. There's a story there that helps this match at the pay-per-view. Like, I know, I'm grasping at straws, I'm fantasy booking, but like Miro versus Davey Boy Smith Jr. will definitely get more eyes than Miro against fucking Dante Martin. And there's that 1% chance that you think, holy shit, what if Davey Boy Smith wins this? And then we see him and Lance Archer at fucking Double or Nothing.
It should be Marco Stunt and he should win.
Oh, you're on drugs. So on drugs. That would, if you're looking for people to not watch Friday night, then you would advertise Marco Stunt's actually on the show. But
no, I think people would tune in to see him get thrown like he did by Lance Archer. Remember that shit? Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
But well, I digress.
Either way, they do hype up the card for next week's Dynamite. So, again, it is a special Friday night episode of Dynamite. The NBA schedule is forcing this move. We'll talk a little bit about that later, too, for what that means coming up. But they're moving it to Friday night, 10 o'clock, so that they're not going to compete with SmackDown. Right now, the announced card is Joey Janela versus Hangman Page. Jade Cargill has an open challenge. Miro versus Dante Martin for the TNT title. The Inner Circle is going to celebrate their greatest moments. Evil Uno and Stu Grayson versus Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. We'll get Darby Allin versus Cesar Bononi. We're going to who is this? Hikaru Shida, AEW Women's World Champion, 1 year celebration. And then Orange Cassidy responds to the offer from Kenny Omega. So maybe he'll speak next week. We'll see. Now, I don't remember when they did this, but they also filled out the card for Double or Nothing. So we can run through it here. But at Double or Nothing, we're going to get Kenny Omega versus Pac versus Orange Cassidy. I mean, that's one that's up in the air right now, but right now that's it for the championship. The Young Bucks versus John Moxley and Eddie Kingston for the tag team titles. Britt Baker versus Shida for the AEW Women's Championship. The Inner Circle versus the Pinnacle in a Stadium Stampede. If the Inner Circle loses, they must disband. Miro versus Lance Archer for the TNT title. We'll get Sting and Darby Allin versus Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. Cody Rhodes versus Anthony Agogo and Hangman Adam Page versus Ethan Cage.
Hangman Adam Page against who?
Brian Cage.
Okay.
Page?
Ethan.
Ethan Cage. Oh,
sorry. I'm looking at it's like two lines above me and I'm getting the Cages and Pages mixed up. We should have the Pages versus the Cages and just have it be done. We're also going to get the Casino Battle Royal, and they did fill out the rest of the card except for one. So just to run this down, we're going to get Christian Cage, Matt Sydal, Powerhouse Hobbs, Matt Hardy, Isaiah Cassidy, Mark Quinn, Evil Uno, Ten, Colt Cabana, Jungle Boy, Griff Garrison, Brian Pillman Jr., Max Caster, Anthony Bowens, QT Marshall, Nick Camarado, Dustin Rhodes, Lee Johnson, Penta El Cero, The Blade, and a mystery entrant. So who can it be now? I don't know. But we'll see who it is. They also said that Paul White will be on the announce desk for the Casino Battle Royal. So, guys, we're at the main event in Dynamite for the night. The Varsity Blondes versus the Young Bucks for the Tag Team Championships. For some reason, leading up to this tonight, I didn't think this was a title match. I thought it was just a match. But anyway... again, let's kind of cut to the finish here and then we can talk about this match. The Young Bucks do win by submission. Sharpshooter from Matt Jackson on Brian Pillman Jr., who taps out, so they retain. My favorite part of that was they sprayed the cold spray in numerous people's eyes. We'll talk about that and that factored in here. Post-match, we do get Moxley and Kingston slipping into the ring. And Brandon Cutler and Don Callis run off to the hills so that they're safe. They beat the Bucks down. Eddie, I think at one point is biting Nick's ear, and John Moxley puts the boots to Matt Jackson. And they basically choke them out. Afterwards, they do steal the Bucks sneakers. Eddie steals some socks. and then we get the notice that it became official for Double or Nothing. And that's it, folks. That's the rest of the night. So, Kate, what'd you think of the match? What'd you think of the post-match?
I thought it was good. I like these little prankster Kingston Mox duo. I think it's so much fun. Really good, really solid match. It was nice to see the Varsity Blondes in a high-profile spot. I thought the ring styles meshed super well, so I really liked this match. I am excited to see Eddie Kingston and Mox versus the Young Bucks in a title match. I think, regardless of how we feel about like that tag team, I think it's going to be a really, really good match.
Matt, what did you think about this main event and the build at the end here?
I love the match. It was very non-Young Bucks match. They did a ton of selling for the Varsity Blondes, and I know they were really trying to put over Brian Pillman Jr., but I fucking love Griff Garrison. When he throws that big fucking that leg, he fucking looks the boot, the big boot.
No, who the fuck is Griff Garrison?
Oh, very funny. I thought this match was great. I thought they looked great. The shenanigans or whatever, you know, they are what they are. Post-match, I thought it was kind of fun. And if you watched ESPN today, the Bucks were on Sports Nation, and somebody, one of the announcers, Sports Nation people, I don't know what they do on these fucking shows, brought up the fact that they wore those fucking $10,000 shoes, and then they said, oh, we're going to wear those shoes again tonight. So Eddie Kingston stealing the shoes was whatever, you know, that I would rather watch Eddie Kingston steal shoes than talk about a fucking super kick party and pretend that they don't know what a fucking super kick party is. And I thought the Varsity Blondes looks really good. I think the Bucks did a great job making them look good. How dare you spray Julia Hart in the face? How dare Don Callis say you can't trust a Hart?
I thought it was hilarious that she got sprayed in the face and her reaction was so delayed.
I'm like, oh, I don't think Julia anything Hart. Came out of it.
It came out of it.
And then I loved Don Callis had two great Canadian references. Jonathan Leo and what was the spoiler's name? It wasn't Keith Jardine, was it?
I don't know.
If someone's gonna know, it's gonna be you, buddy.
It was Don Jardine, the spoiler, not Mr. Wrestling. There was a Don Jardine and a Jonathan Leo reference when they were walking the top rope. Props to Don Callis for that.
Well, it was a pretty fun episode of Dynamite. So, like I said, it's the Go Home Wednesday night episode of Dynamite. Next week, it is on Friday at 10 o'clock. It's a late episode. I guess we will figure out what we're going to do. But if we're on Wednesday night, we're not going to have Dynamite to talk about. So we'll see what happens. All right, a couple things before we get out of here. A lot of news dropping today. The big news of the day was that AEW's franchise is dominating and expanding in 2022. So it came up today that Dynamite will be moving to TBS later in the year. And they will have TNT will have, they did announce the new third hour of programming. It will be called AEW Rampage, premiering August 13th on TNT. And it will be at 10 PM on Friday nights. So this is the third hour that we've been talking about, you know, for months and months, the extra show, that will be on TNT. They're moving to TBS. Now it did come out that part of the move was because of the deal with the NHL. So the NHL and no doubt the NBA were going to wreak havoc on their schedules. We're going to talk about that in a second too. The schedule is just ridiculous for them with the NBA playoffs. So I think in the future, this is definitely going to benefit them. And Tony Khan is promising that the new Rampage show will be basically a core show for them that's an equivalent to Dynamite. He said, I think on Busted Open, you know, a quick kind of like one line I saw was that he didn't want to do 3 hours of Dynamite, and it came up a kind of about a third hour, and he said, I really want to do it on another night. And so this is what they're doing. Now, Friday night to 10 p.m., I don't know if that's the best place to do it, but we'll see what happens. So, guys, I think this is a good move. And we're getting a new show. What do we think about the announcement today? Anybody?
I love it. First of all, you're going to get wrestling back on TBS. I'm sorry, TNT.
No, TBS.
TBS, which is a fucking home run. I love that. I also think you have all these extra shows. You have AEW Dark Elevation, AEW Dark. Like, if this gets them on the road, right? Because you look, when they go back on the road, you can't do Dynamite, Rampage, Dark, and Elevation all in one night.
Right.
That's like a 5-hour marathon. So this will break it up, and it'll get more people work, right? As people, the world starts to open up, people can get out on the road. You can use talent from whatever cities you're in to do enhancement work, whatever. Friday at 10, but if it's done right, I think it might work. I'm all for it.
Well, I think this is clearly, again, kind of like what they're doing this Friday or next Friday, excuse me. They don't want to compete with SmackDown and WWE on Fox, right? And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think they just want to make sure they get as many eyes on the prize as they possibly could. So I don't think it's like conceding a loss before anything's already happened. I think you just know that you don't want to kind of compete with the show, and that's the other thing. There's no Friday night fucking wars, like
no. And I think the plus side is if odds are the people that are watching SmackDown on Friday night will also watch your Friday night wrestling show.
Yeah, they'll switch over if they're home at 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, right, watching SmackDown. Why wouldn't you turn on TNT? Sure.
And look, TBS and TNT will not do a dessert. They will promote the fuck out of this, you know. And they don't forget, they got this Cody Rhodes, the whatever, this goofy Rhodes to the Top show is also going to be like, I know you mentioned the schedule before, and I'm sure we'll get into it, but during these playoff games, there will be tons of promotion for AEW Dynamite.
The other advantage to being on a Friday too is that gives you catch up time. Like, I probably won't watch that live, but it gives you catch up time before Wednesday. So if there's like any storyline continuity, you have like a decent loop. It's not like they're doing them in back to back nights and you're like, oh shit, I have to catch up now. So I also appreciate that about it too. I think it's great. The move to TBS, I think it's going to be beneficial. I feel like anytime you're lower down on the TV dial, which I think TBS is in most, like basically most people's cable subscriptions or whatever, like you're going to flip around and you're going to find it sooner. I think that can only benefit them. So I think that's super fun. It does break my heart a little bit that wrestling is moving from TNT, because I feel like that is so iconic, but I think overall it's going to get more eyes on the product to be a really beneficial move. I know it was on TBS too, but I think I'm just thinking in terms of like,
it was on TBS first, 6:05.
I know, but I think Dynamite, TNT, I think Sting, I think TNT.
Hey, Sting was on at 6:05 on TBS.
Such a youngster you are, Kate. Unbelievable.
I know. But I'm very excited. I think the move will only be beneficial. And I think it's going to be important for them not to get jostled around by sports schedules. And I think it's really smart of TNT to get live sports, because that's where the ratings are these days. So I think that'll be super helpful. And I think it's a beneficial move. And I think it just shows you also how committed Turner is to AEW. I think they're really happy with the results they're seeing. So I think it's awesome and going to be healthy for them.
It will be interesting to see what this third hour of programming looks like, you know, and how they kind of go about doing that. Maybe they do house shows and they tape it house shows, you know. I mean, there's a whole different way they could do this stuff now. But it'll be interesting to see that. And as we've been talking about the schedules, the other kind of thing to come out with all this is the fact that the NBA schedule is going to fuck up the schedule for Dynamite right now. You know, the regular season ended, the playoffs are starting. So the reason that next week's Friday Dynamite is on Friday is because of the NBA playoffs. They're going to be airing on Wednesday on TNT. So they had to move it to Friday. They're moving to 10 o'clock so that they're not directly competing with SmackDown. I think that's a fine decision. So it looks like that there's also going to be a move on June 2nd to June 4th. Same reason, the NBA playoffs. And games are kind of scheduled for the following three Wednesdays after that. It looks like there are games scheduled June 9th, June 16th, and June 23rd, which is kind of, you know, it's far out to see what will happen to the schedules. I also don't know. I'd have to kind of work out like what games those would be. Like if it's a game seven, it might not be needed. Game six, whatever. So they might not, you know, this happened last year where they were like, we might be on, we might be preempted. So I'm sure they're ironing all that out, but just be prepared, people. There's going to be a lot of schedule jostling for the next month or so. And then, you know, come next year, we won't have to worry about this bullshit. So keep an eye on AEW to see what's going to happen with the schedule. We'll figure out our schedules around all these changes and we'll keep you posted. Excuse me. The other news that came out today was that AEW is going to be in theaters for Double or Nothing. I think they did this once before with a pay-per-view. Maybe it was Double or Nothing or All Out last year, but, which would have been weird because the theaters were pretty much closed, but AEW is partnering with Cinemark to air Double or Nothing. They did do this for Revolution. I'm sorry. That was right. So in specific select Cinemark theaters, you'll be able to see the Double or Nothing pay-per-view live. Tickets are going to be $20 to see it on the big screen. I think it's a pretty good deal. More and more theaters are opening. More and more people are going to the movies now that they're vaccinated. And I don't know about you guys. I went once to see, I might've said this last time, but I went once to see like a concert in a movie theater. I think once we went to see the Big Four, that was my call. I wanted to see the Big Four on the movie screen. And that was, you know, for those who don't know, Metallica, Megadeth,
Slayer,
Anthrax, and Slayer.
Yeah, I was there. I was at Yankee Stadium.
So was I, but the one that they put in the movie theaters, I think was from like overseas. They taped it.
Of course it was, because there was a fucking billion people there probably.
I don't know. And then we did it once for Rammstein too. Mrs. Money wanted to see Rammstein on the big screen. It's a lot of fun. If you've never done it, definitely check it out. And it's not a bad deal. $20 to see it in the movie theater and on a giant screen. And the people who are going are into it. So you're in a room with a bunch of people who are really into what you're there to see. So it's a good option. I mean, I know we usually get together and watch these things. Would you guys be interested in seeing a movie theater pay-per-view?
100%. I once accidentally ended up at a restaurant for the Royal Rumble. Like, I knew it was the Royal Rumble, but my sister-in-law had, like, brought these, like, dinner coupon off of Groupon. And they just so happened to be showing the Royal Rumble. So I made sure we stayed for the whole Royal Rumble. And there were people who just went there specifically for the Royal Rumble. It's an awesome environment. And everybody's, you know, obviously if you're going to a movie theater to watch wrestling, everyone's there to watch wrestling. You know, you go to a Hooters or you go to a restaurant, people are there specifically on that night. So the atmosphere is fun. People pop, they cheer, they boo, they go crazy for the surprises. So it's a lot of fun. And if you're not looking to spend the 50, spend the fucking 20 and just go to the movie theater, you know?
Yeah. And
they give you discounts on popcorn and soft drinks.
Right. I mean, I hate people, so I'll just stay home, but whatever.
I think it's super fun. I love that they're doing it. And yeah, they did it for Revolution, which felt weird because I was like, we're still very much pandemic-y, but this feels a little bit better. I'm very excited that that's an alternative. What a fun way to experience wrestling.
I saw that they announced Full Gear in St. Louis for November.
Oh, really? I didn't see that. I missed it. But that's fun.
It is. I've been to St. Louis before. I would go back for wrestling.
You guys want to go?
Just throwing that out there. As long as I don't have to do a layover in Chicago again like I did when I went to see the Cardinals.
No.
I'll be good. I gotta drive.
I fly one way. It's direct. I don't fucking do layovers. I don't do stops. We go direct. Wow. I'm limousine riding, jet plane flying, wheeling, dealing, son of a bitch.
Son of there a gun. Is. Look at this guy.
They also announced Andrade versus Omega is booked for Triple Mania. So that's official. I know we were talking a little bit about this before, but it is now official. That will happen Sunday, August 14th. So if you're into Triple A, or if you're just into seeing Kenny Omega versus Andrade, I'd pay for that. So
he's gonna be coming. Your ladder entrant at Double or Nothing to Ooh. Set that up.
Kate, call
I think,
that
and
now.
Not even like signed. I think he's just making an appearance so that they can set this feud up. That's wow. my thinking. Either that or Kate. Tessa Blanchard, maybe.
Really, you're gonna put a woman in the Casino Battle Royale
for her history? I think that would be really, really cool. But I think it's Andrade.
Wow, I like the Forbidden Door. I think there's a lot of possibilities there.
I'll take either one of those, but we'll have to do those picks next week. And then a couple more things here over the weekend. over the weekend, there was John Moxley and Nick Gage brawl around Las Vegas. So clearly we are kind of lining up a GCW event where we'll get Nick Gage versus John Moxley. That seems to be what's going on.
Title, baby. That's
do
a title
you do
match.
It at GCW, or do you have him be in the Battle Royal?
You know, don't get me wrong. I thought about this. I thought about this today, and I was going to be like, I'm going to bring this up on the show, but then I was like, no, because I think it's so stupid. I just don't think you can put Nick Gage on national television. And kind of like, not because of his past, just for the way he's a deathmatch wrestler, man. Like, you can't show anything that he's done.
Yeah.
Everything he would do would have to be so heavily edited. I just don't know if you can explain it out. Would I like to see it? Because I think it would be awesome to see Nick Gage on like national television. Yeah, I think it'd be awesome, but I just don't think. I don't think it's possible.
Look, Nick Gage is not an idiot. He's gonna work with John Moxley, and they both know there's huge money in that. And with all due respect to GCW, you can only get so many people at a venue and so many people order it on Fight TV. If you put him in that fucking Battle Royal and you do some kind of weird one-off with him and Moxley on TNT, on, you know, they announced they're going to do a bunch of specials with this new deal, and he's going to get a payday. Nick Gage is not a fucking idiot. He will curb his language. He will curb whatever is offensive to TNT just to get, you know, a 15-minute match with John Moxley on TV. Lights out, whatever fucking weird verbiage AEW wants to use.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think it would be awesome. I think it's unlikely, but I think he is certainly going, they're going to have this match at GCW. And just to give some background to what happened on Saturday, GCW was in Las Vegas for their draft day event. And John Moxley decided to pay Nick Gage a visit. He basically marched into the room and started swinging his fists. The best part was what was going on social media. At one point, Ron Funches tweeted a video and said, "Hey, Renee Paquette, I found your husband." And then, you know, other people were tweeting out kind of video clips and stuff like that. GCW even tweeted out at one point, "Hey, we're off the air, but Gage and Mox are brawling down towards Fremont Street right now," and you know that stuff was kind of going out on social. The best part is that Renee Paquette at one point tweeted out, "He told me he was running to the gas station. WTF?"
What do you do if Nick Gage costs Moxley and Kingston the match at Double or Nothing?
I mean, that would be amazing. It honestly would. It would be amazing. I thought about it. I really did think about that too. Somehow somebody costing them that match.
Look, hot off of the dark side of the ring, it's Nick Gage. It's going to get press. He's working with Moxley. Even if he shows up, costs them the match, the title match, and then they have that match at GCW, it's a win for everybody.
So it came up in the Discord. I have to talk about it here. GCW Atlantic City, when this goes down, are we putting a trip together? I know, Matt, it's busy season for you, but at least for one of the days, we'd have to get it. I mean, we could get the whole crew together.
We could. I'd need that date now, and I would need to, you know, figure things out. If it's a Saturday, it's probably a no-go for me. It's just the way my life is during the summer.
A no-a-go-go.
Oh, stop it. We're not even Never. Talking about him.
A boo-boo. Never.
Well, there is no word on when an actual match is going to happen. But it would be, you know, we would expect a match announcement coming at some point soon. Apparently GCW announced that deathmatch season starts on June 5th. So
yeah, it does.
It'll have to happen at some point. Yes. Right.
Yeah. Well,
so
if it's going to happen,
the final piece
of
thing
happen in October, I'm in. If it's going to happen in June, July or August, count me out. I already cashed in my ticket, buddy.
For July. Yeah. Well, and then the only other thing that came out today, Matt, you mentioned it before, AEW Unrivaled 6 was revealed. We are getting another six-figure set. We're going to get Hikaru Shida, Jake Hager, MJF, Chris Jericho, Penta, and Rey Fénix. So again, there's a bunch of repeats in this, man. But we were talking about like why maybe they haven't done anybody new. Kate made a fair point. It sounded a lot like something that I said earlier in the pandemic, that maybe they're just not able to get people in as easily to scan them, or it's still hard to maybe source some of these materials or create new molds or anything like that. I don't know, but it just seems crazy that they wouldn't start coming up with new figures, right?
I think, and I don't know, but I think this is planned out well, probably 8 months to a year in advance. And these guys, you know, these figures sell like fucking hotcakes to begin with. You know, I was kind of disappointed. I said that in the Discord today. I was hoping for like an Archer figure. Maybe a Chuck and a Trent figure, so you could have the best friends.
Dark Order set, like give us a whole set.
Well, I think the Dark Order set's gonna come. I think it's gonna be a ringside exclusive, kind of like the TNT Championship and the Luchasaurus and the Jungle Boy one, where they're together. Obviously, they didn't put Marco Stunt with Jurassic Express because nobody recognizes him as a valuable
Marco Stunt Chase.
Yeah, nobody recognizes him as an asset to that group, that stable. So nobody gives a shit about him. But yeah, it was kind of like Shida, great, whatever, you know, because I collect, I got to get her. Hager, I kind of dig it. I like his Chase figure with the GNR style Inner Circle shirt. But then like Jericho, MJF, I know why they do it. I'm just kind of like, ugh. Like I'm sitting here looking at Series 5 Moxley and Series 2 Moxley, and the only difference is the pants.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you couldn't make a Lance Archer. Like, I know Miro is still kind of new. Would a Kip Sabian figure sell? I don't know. Do they have the rights to make figures for, like, a Thunder Rosa or a Serena Deeb? So I think it goes deeper than what there is. I'm sure FTR figures are coming. I'm sure Sean Spears figure would be nice.
Britt Baker.
Britt's definitely coming. That's going to be the way they
when
keep
when she's the champ.
Yeah. The way they keep teasing sense. It, like, it's going to be, like, her and Reba and a glove and all sorts of goofy, weird, fun stuff.
And the other things that actually, it wasn't announced today, like with the Unrivaled, the Unrivaled, my apologies. But they did, Matt, you let me know because I didn't see it last week. They put out a barbed wire weapon set that you can order for like $20 from Ringside Collectibles. And there's also tag team title belts. You know, like they did the kids belt for the world championship. Now they've got the tag team belt. All of that good fun stuff coming for your collecting ability or collecting preferences. Yes, Kate.
We also forgot to mention this week's poll.
Oh, I didn't realize there was a poll. Yes, let's do the poll.
Yeah, the reason I wanted to mention it is because the winner won with 69% of the vote. Nice.
Nice.
I just put out there, like, how did you feel basically about Miro becoming the TNT champ? And I said, yes, he's the best man. Yes, but it should have happened on a pay-per-view. No, it should have been Darby. No, it should have been someone other than Miro. And pretty much everyone thought it happened to the right guy at the right time. 69% of you did. Nice.
Kate, do you want to take this time to use this platform to apologize to the fact that you wake up every morning, you look in the mirror and you say, I am a proud Yankees fan, but you don't know what number
Paul O'Neill or Don Mattingly is. Okay, so I'll issue a formal retraction because here's where I'm double an idiot.
Oh,
double an idiot on the same topic. Let's clarify. I said 23 was Paul O'Neill's number, and Ant said, I think that Berg was referencing Michael Jordan. And I said, no, Paul O'Neill, haha. Paul O'Neill was number 21, Don Mattingly is 23. Shame.
I should have caught it.
Me.
I should have caught it, but I was so stuck on Jordan.
Understandably
that, like,
so.
You, like, 23, why would you think of anybody but Jordan? And then I was
obsessed with baseball.
Yeah, but
I got more pissed off because then I saw that Berg said something like, no, LeBron. Sorry, Berg. Fuck off. It's Jordan. It's not LeBron's.
Wow.
No, it's not LeBron's. It's Jordan.
All right, but I think Berg's gimmick is he is the LeBron James of elite Mattel collecting action figure guy.
I don't give a fuck. You're not the LeBron James of anything. Jordan is the greatest of all time.
Okay.
Yeah, but Cardona stole that.
I don't give a shit about Cardona either. He can eat a bag of dicks.
I disgraced Don Mattingly. I'm so sorry.
You did. And I should have called you out on Donnie Baseball.
For all of you being involved, being Yankees fans, you should have known better.
Well, we showed up. So
we weren't running to the ringside warehouse banging on the door trying to get my figures.
You gotta let me know what your story is before the show starts, because I was not banging on.
There's no fun in that. It's not a story.
You
lived
it. Listen.
I know, but you told us that after
I was busy feeding the animals that work at the hospital. God forbid I ever get sick. I'm just going to have my wife shoot me in the backyard, because these people, it is astounding. Astounding.
There are healthcare heroes, Matt.
They are not healthcare. They are fucking the worst, ungrateful bunch of fucking hot garbage I've ever had to interact with.
Wow.
This take is solely
the
reflection of Matt Bowman and only Matt Bowman.
Hey, whoa, kayfabe, the fucking last name, you jack wagons.
It's in your Twitter handle.
It's out there.
But I don't use my Twitter handle, all right? You know what? That's fine. These people, look, it's fucking, let me see it. It's pizza, stupid. What do you think it looks like, you fucking asshole? Just be grateful you're getting a fucking free meal at 2 o'clock in the morning. All right, go inside and fucking try not to kill the people in the hospital.
Oh my God.
You fucking ungrateful cocksuckers.
Wow.
The worst. My wife's going to take me out. When I'm sick and dying, I'm just going to have my wife shoot me in the face with a shotgun. That's it.
Well, no nurse or doctor is going to help you now. So you
don't want any help from them. I've dealt with them. They're savages. Animal savages.
Yeah, because they're working 1 to 4 in the morning at time.
I'm also working 1 to 4 in the morning, and I know how to treat somebody with common decency and pretend that, you know, they're human beings instead of being a fucking selfish cocksucker.
True. They should have yelled at you on a podcast.
No, they should have just been like, thank you.
Keyword is, you heard that, Matt, Kate. Matt said pretend.
There it is.
I have to pretend because I'll fucking stab somebody. I didn't tell you to be a fucking doctor, and you're not. You're a fucking nurse. You're an RA, whatever nonsensical bullshit you are, because you're too dumb to be a doctor. Don't be mad at me because you're an idiot and you didn't spend all your hours studying. doctorism. You thought it was all Grey's Anatomy. You thought
you just said doctorism and called someone else stupid in the same breath.
That's fine. You thought fucking McDreamy was gonna be there. No, guess what?
I'm so glad this is like 3 hours into this episode when people stop listening.
You gotta give the fucking old guy who shit his leg a fucking bath. Enjoy your free pizza, shit face.
Yeah, I wonder why they're in a bad mood.
Look, I didn't tell you to be a fucking doctor or nurse or whatever shitty job. You don't like it? Go get another fucking job. Don't take it out on me. I'm giving you free pizza, you shithead.
Look, there are like 3 cases of rabies a year that need to be treated, okay? We need our doctors and nurses.
Rabies is serious, okay? I want a big check. Big check for rabies. And I want a doctor here.
Okay, with the cost, though, with the cost of the giant check, and we have to rent the nurse, out of the money that we're giving to charity, it would only be like $800.
And that's all what Jan donated, right? I'm gonna carb load. I'm gonna carb load right now with this Alfredo pasta
for the cure.
Just don't put any Imodium in my drink.
Oh my goodness. Well, if you like to hear more of these takes, from the Matthew of the Mark Order podcast, feel free to visit us on social. We're on all social platforms at Mark Order Pod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Find us on Facebook. You can look up the Mark Order podcast. If you're watching us, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. If you're listening on Rant EM Radio, and we'll keep you in the loop about what we're going to do next week. We'll talk about it. We'll let you know on our social channels. I mean, I'm just spitballing here, guys. I think we should probably just get on here Wednesday and bullshit about nothing.
I'm all for it.
So stay tuned. We'll be back, I guess, next week at some point.
This concludes the Mark Order podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.
Goodbye and good night.